It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. So, welcome to one of the only, if not perhaps the only, live progressive radio broadcast on this Christmas night, December 25th, 2018. Christmas on the front porch is underway. Welcome. I hope you've had a lovely day, whether you celebrate Christmas or not, or whether you celebrate or not, or hell, I just hope you had a nice day. Okay. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and really, everybody else is pretty much on vacation, doing stuff with family, whatnot. Well, it's been pretty quiet around the house all day long. Not a big sit down dinner. Mostly more like, and make no mistake, one does not need a big sit down dinner to be stuffed. It's been more like power noshing since about sunrise. Here at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, broadcasting live from the fabulous Kincaid Studios. And 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time rolled around, and, well, hey, look, we've got a live broadcast going on. Me, what I'm doing right now is I'm popping into the Horn chat room. Let's see here. With any luck at all, it'll work, and I'll be there in a minute, and we'll find out who's in the chat room. If you'd like to be in the chat room, you're welcome. It's free. It's easy. Head on over to headon.live. And, no, I'm just going to have to refresh the page here because it's not going to cooperate. Just head on over, pick out a free screen name, password, you know, and jump right in. And we have a merry band already gathered for the evening. We've got Anatole and Otto and Richard and Squeaky and Warrior Witch, all of whom, you know, if you pop in, pick out that screen name and a password, they'll all say hi and happy Saturnalia, happy solstice, merry Christmas, merry Kwanzaa, or no holiday greeting whatsoever, if that be your preference. But everybody's there. And, of course, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, even on Christmas night, has folded space to become man cave on what I take to be a tolerable Northern California afternoon. So hail, the gang's all here, or partially here, or somewhat here. I had a little heat going earlier this evening, but no, it's a nice, toasty 66 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios, and nothing to complain about. Okay, my feet are a little cold. The floor area, it may be 66 degrees up where the clock is, but down here on the floor it's considerably, yeah. I hope you had a lovely day. It is, as Brother Deacon Asa points out, Titanic Tuesday as well, and he tells me loud and clear on this Titanic Christmas on the front porch, economic ruin, you say? Flank speed ahead, Skipper. You know it. So we're cruising along merrily on both the Horn and HeadOn.live and White Rose stream, so that means we should be groovy over at TuneIn and Stitcher and Roku and, right, yeah. What's that? Okay, Lee in New York, power noshing in a Jewish accent. You look hungry. Are you eating enough? Do you need me to make you something? That's about right. Yeah, and I made a great big bowl of I made a nice attempt at a sort of German style beer käse. So yesterday I made the Czech style, and today's the German style, and they're pretty good, radically different, but pretty good. And I think, just a schmear on some rye bread is going to be fantastic later if I ever feel like eating again, because there's that. Tomorrow is Ferg's birthday, and so we have decided to forego one of the three different oyster dishes until tomorrow. Ferg will be getting oysters Bienville for his birthday dinner, because that's what he wanted, and I'm looking forward to it. I really, really am. So let me see what Sparky is already pulling together the front porch group. And a reminder, we'll get started on that fairly quickly. What's that? Thank you, Steve, in New York. Not in New York. Merry Christmas from cold and snow-covered Ottawa. Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you. There in the far and frozen north. Thank you, Steve. And many, many happy returns to you as well. Thanks for the happy wish, Bill, in Allentown. Like I said, we will... and thank you for the birthday wish, Anatole. I will tell Ferg you said so. No, we will get started with Friday on the front porch in a relatively short order without a lot of shilly-shallying about, because we may as well talk about this all together. You know, I had no idea when I said last night that one of the truths of the current political climate is that where once upon a time to have done a Christmas night program like this would have been a bit of a chore, because the things to talk about would have been somewhat limited. Yeah, that's not true anymore, and I had no idea how untrue it would be today. And so I was sitting there reading and pulling stories together, as is my wont. WONT, by the way. And there it was. The news broke early this afternoon, as if in some sort of, if you believed in things like divine signs and things like that, two dead children in the space of a couple of weeks would almost be enough to make you think that somebody was trying to send you a sign that maybe putting children in dog cages along the borders is something less than a good, decent, humane, or for those who continue to insist on telling us this is a Christian nation, that it's not a Christian thing to do. Because especially at this time of year, when we deal with all the mythology that surrounds the basic Christmas story. Well, the murder of the innocents is one of them. Herod the Great, running around killing children because somebody told him the little kid had been born who was going to be king of the Jews, and, well, Herod didn't want anything to do with that. So Herod was not a nice guy. He was a Roman client king, and there's really no evidence that that actually happened. That's why you can't rely on the Gospels to be something like biography, but, yeah, well, But as it turns out, yeah. I mean, I know how to do the typical news anchor kind of thing where you would deal with a story like this. Let's see. How would it go? Let me find it here. Probably on a day like this, it'd probably just be a rip and read. An 8-year-old boy from Guatemala died in government custody in New Mexico early Tuesday, U.S. immigration authorities said, marking the second death of an immigrant child in detention this month. The death came, not his death, the death. So we're not even going to afford this poor little Guatemalan kid an actual human pronoun. It's just going to be the death, not his death. The death came during an ongoing dispute over border security with a partial government shutdown underway over President Donald Trump's request for border wall funding. And there are more details after that. And you just wonder... Well, God, I hate to admit it, but what you wonder is how many more. But that's it. But you know, we live in the era of Trump, so there aren't going to be any dull Christmases. Maybe Melanoma Trump can send one of her Be Best Christmas ornaments. And yesterday they held the wake in Guatemala for a little 7-year-old. I don't know what that... Jacqueline Call. Her wake was held yesterday down in Guatemala. And today we find out a little 8-year-old boy has also died because of the policies enacted by this criminal regime. Let's see here. Darlene in Connecticut with a note. Christmas blowout with the fam today, and not even over Trump or politics, so no noshing for me, unfortunately, but sometimes one must stand on principle over prime rib, as tough as that is for me. So I'm really looking forward to the show this evening as I sip on red wine and watch brownies baking in the oven. Yeah, that sounds... I've never combined red wine and brownies, Darlene, but you know what? I'm guessing they'll probably do the trick. So I'm awfully glad that you're here for this little get-together. Steve in New York says, I have to admit, I don't wonder how many more necessarily. I wonder how many more we don't know about. Well, that too. But it was just a, there was just a sinking sort of oh no feeling that attended this. Because, no, I didn't vote for him. You didn't vote for him. The vast majority, I'd say 99.9% of the Horn Family Community Congregation actually passed the 2016 version of the quadrennial United States One Question IQ test. And so we might possibly sit back and smugly say, well, certainly not because of me that that's happening. And look over at the far end of the table where the maggots are eating with their elbows. But in the final analysis, it is our country. And so we are on the hook and on the clock to do something about this, somehow or another. So that's, hence, at least, I won't speak for anyone else's, but my angst. Note coming from Craig. What with members of my politically conservative family today, I was pleasantly surprised when a couple of the family who voted for Trump were criticizing him with quite a bit of disgust. When someone asked, why did you vote for him, they commented that they couldn't bring themselves to vote for a Clinton. Then one of the family seniors began to say how the Obamas were worse and Trump had not done anything as bad as the Obamas. Strange, they weren't able to reference what the bad things were by those other occupants, but it was interesting to hear rock-solid supports beginning to loosen and lose faith in the orange knucklehead. Well, so the learning curve is going to be longer for others than for others. And, of course, I forget, it was a couple of days ago, I forget who was talking, but I was watching one of the news channels, and somebody piped up and said, well, what with a Clinton or a Bush having been on the ticket for every presidential election, for 80% of the presidential election since 1980, it's some ridiculous percentage, I forget what. Yeah, it's not surprising to find that there was disgust and disappointment among the economically anxiety heartland. I thought, well, what a load of horse shit that is. Of course, there was no Clinton and no Bush in the election of 2008 or 2012. There was a Clinton in 16. There was a Bush in 4 and aught. And, of course, Clinton in 96 and 92. But that whole idea, where did that get started? As we just sort of sit around digesting and what this, where did that whole business of that's what constitutes a dynasty come from? I honestly don't know. But it certainly was a presence. Oh, I'm forgetting something very, very important. And that's the thank you portion of the program. Thanks going out this evening to Paul. Merry Christmas, Bobby. Hope you are well. This is Bisbee Paul. Just finished work in California, and I'm now in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. My New Year's resolution is to call you on the show. Well, I hope you can follow through on that. That should be a lot more doable than, say, fly with Elon Musk to the moon or something like that. Yeah, I'd guess that that's a little bit more doable. And thanks go out to subscribers for the 25th of the month. Those thanks going out to our buddy Jim. In Spain, and to Asa, not Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you, Asa, and to Kay. Thank you, Kay, and Asa, and Jim, and to Paul. Thank you all very, very kindly indeed. And I don't know why they did it, but just a quick note to our buddy Johannes. I got a note from PayPal saying they decided to skip your subscription. So, no record or reason or anything why. So sorry about that. But I figure folks would like to, you know, subscribers would like to know when it doesn't apparently work right. Please believe me, I had nothing to do with it. The reporting on the little Guatemalan boy is sketchy at best at this point in time. But the writing, the way it was written up, at least by Reuters, was enough to set off some of my, make my spidey sense tingle a little bit. The same basic language, an 8-year-old Guatemalan migrant boy died shortly after midnight on Tuesday, that would be today, after being detained by U.S. border agents. U.S. Customs and Border Protection said in a statement, the second migrant child to have died this month after being detained at the border between Mexico and the United States. Here's the part that caused the tingling. The boy and his father were in CBP custody on December 24th when a Border Patrol agent noticed the child showing signs of illness, CBP said. The father and son were taken to the Gerald Champion Regional Medical Center in Alamogordo, New Mexico, where the boy was diagnosed with a common cold and fever and eventually released by hospital staff. The part there that made me a little bit squirmy was the boy and his father were in CBP custody on December 24th. That is not the same thing as saying how long they had been in custody. Which is a substantially different issue. The AP story is similar. U.S. Customs and Border Protection said the boy showed signs of potential illness on Monday and was taken with his father to a hospital, again in Alamogordo, New Mexico, where he was diagnosed with a cold and a fever. He was prescribed amoxicillin and ibuprofen and released Monday afternoon after being held 90 minutes for observation. The AP provides a little more detail, saying CBP has not yet confirmed when or where the father and son entered the United States or how long they were detained, saying only in its statement that the boy had been previously apprehended by its agents. Apprehended. Isn't that a term you use for, you know, someone charged with a crime? By the way, gentle reminder, seeking asylum in the United States of America is not even now, a crime. And meanwhile, with this story breaking, the White House did what? Well, they punted. They said, you'll need to ask the Department of Homeland Security. Because, of course, the buck does not stop with Donald Trump. On the other hand, the Guatemalan Foreign Ministry says the father and son entered the U.S. at El Paso, Texas on December 18th and then were taken to the Border Patrol's Alamogordo station on Sunday. Alamogordo being about 90 miles from El Paso. And after being told that, after the White House punted and said you'll have to look to the Department of Homeland Security, well, Customs and Border Patrol spokesman today just didn't answer the questions. Gerald Champion Regional Medical Center, they took a pass on it too. Meanwhile, Customs and Border Protection said there would be, quote, an independent and thorough review of the circumstances. Yeah. Right. So that sort of rocketed to the top of anything else that I had planned for us to discuss this evening. It sort of supplanted any notion that we'd sit around and say, somebody would say, well, we had turkey, and somebody else would say, we had ham, and somebody else would say, well, we ordered in Chinese, and somebody else would say, well, we did prime rib, and somebody else would say, I got a rock. Oh, wait a minute, that's the wrong Charlie Brown special. That's Halloween. And instead, this story has overtaken just about everything else. So, a reminder, if you'd like to participate in this very, very special Christmas on the front porch, Sparky is waiting for your request. Just send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, all one word, Sparky Dunk, and Sparky will show you the trail through the woods to the old holler tree that we read out from the Keebler Elves, who were busy with their second jobs last night, where we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather for these front porch conversations. And instead of a breadcrumb trail, it'll be a trail of a string of popcorn Christmas tree garland. You know, special broadcast and all of that. And it's dark enough, we can shine the bob signal off the clouds, and well, one way or the other, you'll find your way to the extraordinary, ordinary round table. Okay? And that having been said, we'll go ahead and get things started here in a moment. And if you want, just jump in as the mood strikes you. Alexander says, apprehension of a criminal child of color. No surprise here, like all people of color, when it comes to ignorant, racist white folks, the child's skin was his sin. Let's not forget the poor little 7-year-old girl of color that was allowed to die in the hands of customs simply because the effers would not give her some clean drinking water. Yeah, I know, Alexander. I know. Well, let's run over and check in out in the man cave and see what's going on with Sparky. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
How you doing, Bob?
Pretty good. Did y'all try out the your new smoker today?
No, that's tomorrow.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Because like in your household, we have somebody that has a birthday on the 26th.
Aha. Aha.
My stepson.
Okay, well, tell him happy birthday for us, please.
And the rest of the family that's coming is not here yet. They're on their way today. But I've been prepping the brine for the turkey.
Ah, oh, very good, very good.
And
yeah, I'm going to start talking about turkeys.
It's going in at 6 o'clock, so I might have to step out. I don't know, I might be in and out of here.
Into the brine or into the smoker?
Into the brine.
Okay, yeah, so 24 hours in the brine should be, well, I mean, how long are you going to put it in the brine?
14 hours at least.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Have you put any seasonings in there with it? A little garlic, black pepper, that kind of thing?
It's all one package mix I got. It looks like it's going to be good.
Okay, cool, yeah, because the neat thing is when you brine it like that, that electrolyte solution seems to do a really good job of carrying it all the way through the meat. I think you'll be really pleased. So we got some more folks wandering in. Did I hear John Bredevo there?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, John.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you? Merry Christmas, happy holidays, etc.
Merry Christmas to you, to Sparky, and the whole group. Bob, I need to let you know, Sparky rang me up on Skype, and I am in the middle of my live broadcast right now. So please, I was just talking about you just a minute ago, wasn't I, Travis? I was talking about me being on your show, and we were talking about food and how nice it is to receive gifts. By the way, Paul contacted me. I gave him my address. I'm looking forward to those almonds, buddy.
Well, the first
Blue Dot family.
Okay. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're live, Bob.
Yeah, but all I was going to say is we know that the Pullmans are moving through the system because Tracy already got hers.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Tracy is a cab driver out in San Francisco, and she's a wonderful lady. I love to speak to her when I'm on Bob's show.
Los Angeles.
I don't want to eat up your time. Let me finish up on my show, and I'll join y'all in just a little bit.
All right, that'll be awesome, John. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Say Merry Christmas. I got you on the mic.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Blue Dot family.
All right. I appreciate it. Like I said, Bob is on. I just told him just a minute ago, Bob Kincaid on Head Up on Head On Radio Network, Horn Radio. And I was just telling him I'm always like to visit with you on Friday on the front porch with Bob Kincaid. And I really enjoy Rick and everybody that we get to meet with on there. I'm tongue-tied. You caught me off guard here, buddy.
You're doing fine, John. Believe me.
Oh, man. Well, Bob is one of those people I promote because Bob does a great job, and you can always get interesting. Like I said, these guys are intelligent. They're lawyers. They know what they're talking about, and I try to learn as much as I can from them. How's that for gaslighting? Is that pretty good, Bob?
John, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on the radio. That's the only problem.
Oh, I messed up. Well, he's as smart as a lawyer. Rick's a lawyer, though, right?
Yeah, and so's Steve.
Yeah, see, we got lawyers out there. They know what the hell's going on. I'm telling you. Bob, I appreciate the call, buddy. I'll call you back in just a little bit.
All right, thanks a bunch, John.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Bob. I'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right, later on.
All right,
so speaking of lawyers, let's go over and check in out in the far frozen wastes of Canada with Steve. You there, Steve?
Hey, I am here. Can you hear me okay?
Hey, you sound great.
Good. Yeah, I'm up here visiting my partner. Going to be here till the 3rd of January and staying warm and just hanging out and chilling out and had some good food today, and that's about it.
So you're going to be there for the 3rd. What are you going to do? Will the Bucks game be broadcast?
I don't know. I'll watch it when I get back or something. It's not so important. He doesn't have TV. We both are kind of off the, cut the cord. We have Netflix and all that kind of stuff. He's got Apple TV version 4, whatever it is. So we get all that stuff, but, I probably won't watch it now.
I understand. I understand the sentiment. The Mountaineers play on the 28th, and I mentioned this earlier. Seeing how our quarterback decided the game wasn't worth him playing, it kind of makes me wonder if, you know, as a fan, if it's worth me watching.
You know what? In the days of Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler and all those people, if a quarterback pulled that, the coach would have said, "By the way, you can count on not getting an invitation to come back next year."
Or in this guy's case, he's a senior, he's past a senior, and the reason he's doing it is he's afraid he'd get hurt, and it would hurt his NFL prospects. But the problem is, if we were playing in the Sugar Bowl, by God, he'd be there. But this is the Camping World Bowl. So, you know, not worth the risk.
Right, well... I don't know, maybe he'd get a big blister on his big toe or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's big blister, big business.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what? To be honest with you, I don't think the Rose Bowl is going to be that. It's not going to be, unless, who's playing? Washington? Is that who Ohio State's playing?
Washington State?
It's one of the two. I don't think it's going to be all that exciting of a game. I don't think the Pac-10 can really hold a, can really compete with anybody other than the Pac-10. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just a consolation of why not watching it isn't such a big deal to me. I don't think it's going to be a very good game anyway.
Well, it's, and again, that kind of, it's Syracuse with the Mountaineers. So, you know, I'll be on the air for that. Yeah, that thing starts at like 5 o'clock this Friday, so that's, you know.
Okay.
But you know, I'm just gonna say this, and I'm gonna piss off a bunch of people, and we're being shallow, and we're talking about football because you know we're shallow football talking people. I'm actually halfway rooting for Notre Dame to beat Clemson.
I am too. You saw the thing about the 3 Clemson players, right?
Yeah. And the 3 Bama players.
Why, what happened?
You know, 3 Bama players got bounced for the Orange Bowl.
Was it for the same reason?
The curfew related kind of, you know, I guess stayed out drinking or something. You know, the ticky-tacky stuff, but you can't let that shit get out of hand.
Right. Well, I frankly think that's the only way Notre Dame could have beaten Clemson was to have 3 of Clemson's players out. I'm kind of like you. In one sense, I'm rooting for Notre Dame because I like to see Clemson get beat. On the other hand, I just wish I would like to see Notre Dame get clobbered so we can finally disavow ourselves of the notion that they actually belong in the national picture.
Oh, well, see, that's the direction I was going in, Steve, because Alabama's given like 14 points on against Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably low.
I was like, that's all?
Yeah, because, I mean, unless Kyler Murray just goes absolutely hog wild, which I don't see him doing against the Bama defense, I have an ulterior motive. I would like for Notre Dame to beat Clemson, and I'd like for Alabama to tee up across from Notre Dame and just kick that Gold Dome ass all over the football field for 60 solid minutes, just like they did in 2013, and then say, look, enough already. But the reality is, Steve, it's Notre Dame. And, you know, if they played a schedule where they beat up junior high squads for 12 games, there would be some wag out there at ESPN and points elsewhere. Well, certainly they have to be counted among the elites of college football.
Well, it comes down to money, unfortunately. They have a big alumni base, and that's, I think, part of the reason that they're in the picture.
Ratings.
At all. Yeah, it's ratings. It's TV ratings.
I mean, I think arguably they're a better TV draw than, say, you know, your beloved Buckeyes. Hell, they're probably a better draw than Bama.
I mean, I don't know if this is still the case, but remember they had an entire network that became NBC became the Notre Dame network.
Yeah, right, and being an independent, they, you know, all these other teams, they get paid for being in the bowl games, and paid a certain amount if you win, a certain amount if you lose, and you have to share that with your conference. Notre Dame doesn't have to share with anybody. And that's a big inequity, but we better get away from college football before people just, you know, completely hate on us all the way into the, you know, new year.
Yeah, I know, you're right. Okay, shallowness and gaucheness and all that stuff under the couch.
Yeah, philistinism as well. Don't forget, mm-hmm. we're Philistines for enjoying college football too.
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about something uplifting like immigrant children dying in our custody.
Jesus Christ! I know, and I mean that was kind of the opening of the program. But what else is there to say except this is going to keep happening until Donald Trump is no longer president of the United States? I mean, doesn't that cover the universe of this? Because there's no right way to put children in prisons. There's no right way to put children in dog cages. At least not that I can figure out.
No, 100% right. Is anybody else here? I only hear us.
No, you're here.
I'm here.
Yeah, we got a number of folks here, but chime in along the way. Oh, and I'm screwing up too. I need to bring the stress line on because I think we got Kevin in Colorado Springs. Are you there, Kevin?
Yes, I am.
Hot diggity. I am. So it's working.
Yep. At least for now, it's working.
Yeah, we'll cross our fingers and, you know, hope for the best.
I heard another story last night, Bob, on our 10 o'clock news here about a bunch of immigrants being taken to a bus station. I think it was in Texas, but it was a border state, and just dropped off there and told to find their way home. They spoke no English. They had no money. They were dropped off at a Greyhound bus station by Customs and Border Patrol. Have you heard anything about that story?
I read something similar. Basically, because they've got so many children in their gulags now, they've taken to, for instance, God, what was the number? I've got it here. I can check. Story was out of El Paso.
Yeah, that sounds.
And it was like 96 or something. Just turned no money, no contacts, nothing, and just turned loose on the streets of El Paso.
Yep. Yeah. And wherever home was, which they couldn't get to anyway because they didn't have any money.
And then there's the story from a few about a week ago. The video that showed children being marked with numbers on their arms.
Jesus. Unreal.
It was reported by MSNBC, and of course, I guess no one really noticed the terrifying similarities with, say, past historical practices with that happening.
Yeah, because to me, that immediately came up without a second's hesitation. That's what popped into my mind. And that is extremely frightening as well as disturbing that they would even consider that, because I don't know. Man, unreal.
I know. Well, let's see. Let's keep moving around the room. We haven't heard from Clarity in a long time. Clarity, how are you?
I'm doing so well. It's kind of scary. It's an odd feeling this time of year to be So I've got hope back in my life, and I won my disability determination.
Okay, that's news. We didn't know that the last time we talked, so a big yay!
Yes, it's kind of surreal. They actually canceled my court the day before. It was the judge, without prejudice, said I had enough shit wrong with me to justify, you know, me getting my settlement.
Well, that's wonderful, wonderful news, Clarity. I'm so daggum happy for you, and I'm proud of the fact that you stuck with it and you persisted, and because that's what they count on people not doing, just kind of going, oh hell, all right, and walking away.
Well, I couldn't have done it without an attorney. They keep making you file this stuff over and over, and every time I started on it, it was triggering, you know. So yeah, it made me just feel shitty, you know, that I had to keep telling my story over and over again. Thank goodness, you know, that I kept medical records all the way back, you know, till from my accident forward, all the stuff that I, you know, so it wasn't just, oh, my arm hurts. No, it hurts, and I went through, you know, 12 months of physical therapy. And couldn't do my previous job, you know, without a lot of pain. I did chiropractic, you know, did all the whole schmear, you know. And then, you know, the stuff that happened after my mom died. And just, yeah. But it's going to come to a culmination. I have my surgery in March. And I have 3 months recovery time afterwards, but I won't have to be going back and forth for treatments and stuff to Portland, and I can wear a bikini next summer. So that's exciting.
I must say so. Yes.
Yes. Anyway, yesterday I threw this together. Dead heads roasting by a big glass bong. Legal Vancouver till L.A. B.C. Hydro being smoked in Nanaimo. And Dav being toked in Klamath Falls. Big old ganja balls are ready for the non-smokers. And CBD for those who drive. That's you, Bob. We're just getting stoned to the bone all alone. And everyone is getting home alive. They know state taxes are getting paid. They voted for legal weed in 13 states. And Jeffrey Sessions will sit and cry because his chance at more pot bust is dry. And so we medicate without a care and soothe our aches and pains away. although it's been called many things. Evil weed, prohibition is through.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah, that's definitely cowbell worthy. Darn straight.
Yeah. Just realized that, you know, from the Mexico border all the way to Alaska, it's weed is legal on the West Coast.
Damn, that's civilized.
Isn't that some? It's almost like we're in a separate world out here.
no kidding. And yeah, thanks for the CBD reference there. I appreciate that clarity.
Yes. Yeah, I got a new vape that I hadn't seen before. It's called Alaska Ice, and it supposedly has derivatives of the Alaska Thunderfuck in it.
Is this the cannabis equivalent of, say, Pappy Van Winkle in bourbon?
I would say so. Alaska Thunderfuck is a, you know, parentage was called Matanuska Mindfuck or something like that. And, you know, grown up above the Arctic Circle, or I mean up, you know, real far north where they've got long days, almost, you know, 24 hours. And, yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Who's got their camera on?
Well, we're accidentally seeing Billable Rick's office. I'm guessing that's Irwin there on the other cam shot.
Oh, okay. All right. You're using up bandwidth.
Yeah, Irwin, if you wouldn't mind clicking off the video there, that way we know that I won't lose the connection here, because remember, I have crummy ISP. You just mentioned something. Just talking about the names of that stuff reminds me of the list in Shel Silverstein's The Smoke Off.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Let's see here. There was Maui Wowie, Panama Red, Acapulco Gold, Keef from East Afghanistan, and that rare Alaska Cold. Sticks from Thailand, ganja from the islands, and Bangkok's Bloomin' Best, and some of that wet imported shit that capsized off Key West. Oaxacan Tops and Kenya Bang and Riviera Floors, and that rare Manhattan Silver that grows down in the New York sewers. Haven't heard of the Manhattan Silver, but yeah. Everything else is, but... somehow or another, I like to think that had it been around, Shel Silverstein would have included Alaska Thunderfuck.
Yeah. Well, or you could just call it ATF.
Ah, well, how about that?
Which, I don't know, you don't put that in your email.
No, probably not.
No. But anyway, we picked up a New Year's gig this Saturday. We did so well the last two gigs. We had every seat in the house full that the bar manager booked us for that gig. And I'm excited about it. Only got a couple more gigs before I have my hiatus. But I'm hoping to write some songs while I'm not working.
Oh, good deal. Good. So, is it a New Year's Eve gig? Champagnes, party hats, noisemakers, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, they're going to call. Actually, it's called a December to Remember, and they're giving specials on rooms, include the breakfast, their brunch the next morning, and they're going to have giveaways, and of course the Brass Fire. We're kind of special too. Unfortunately, our guitar player took a spill. He was at a Christmas party at one of our trumpet players, and he fell on the back steps. And he went home and thought he was wasn't as bad off as he thought, and he almost died.
Jeez.
he was, they had met, they flew him up to the IC at Richland, and he was in there 4 days before he came back. I don't think it was a medically induced coma. I think he was out. And he's a rough rascal, but he found Jesus while he was out there. And I'm interested to see what, you know, if he makes it back to the band. But, you know, just a self-abusing male. Smoked cigars, and he had COPD, you know, with an oxygen up his nose and smoking a cigar. Is that silly or what?
It's kind of hardcore.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to pull this gig off without a lead guitar player. And hopefully, you know, we can fake it well enough to cover for him. That still leaves nine of us, you know.
Well, yeah, I was going to say y'all are pros, so I have a feeling you'll do okay.
Good night, nine.
Yeah, it's.
What do you guys like, Squirrel Nut Zipper? How many pieces you got, and what do they consist of?
It's called Earth, Wind, and White Guys.
We got two reeds, three brass, piano, bass, guitar, drums, and a lady that plays percussion and violin.
Awesome. That's cool, bro. Three dog nights coming into town. Of course, one of the dogs is dead, but Karen and I are going to go see him next month.
Wait, stop. Quit.
Two dog night.
Three dog night, but one of the dogs is dead.
Hey, I call it three dog night, one dog dead.
I'm just keeping it real. Corey Wells, bro.
Two out of three ain't that, Steve.
I'm sorry. That just hit me a certain way. Three dog night, one dog dead.
Dark humor. What are you going to do, man? Hey, I don't write the script. It is what it is, man. But
two dogs and a pup night.
Famous last words of, you know, Brian Jones. Oh, I'm just going back to the pool for the swim.
Just to swim, a quick swim. I'll be right out.
Well, what was that? What was that old bit from a long time ago? Well, we can't take Dennis when we go for a swim, cause he's gonna get drunk and he's gonna fall in, he's gonna drown. Never mind.
That's so sick,
Bob.
Steve.
Happy holidays, brother. You doing well, my friend?
It's been a quiet day here at Mount Colby.
Yeah,
gone and
here too. We were going to go see the Dick Cheney movie, and I said, "Fuck it, I'm not going to go out there and risk exposing myself to the flu." That's like climbing on a jet airliner, you know, because Christmas Day everybody's packed into the theaters. We'll just watch the movie here, you know. So. That's what I got going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's here. Yeah, you know, I don't have to, you know, you're right. Go out, big crowds, run the risk of catching something. Instead, I'll just stay here and breathe coal smoke.
Yeah, well, some freaking Yahoo has been shooting his freedom detector for the last 2 days. That pisses me off, Bob. Does it bother you?
He's going to melt the barrel. Yeah, and there's not a damn thing I can do. I mean, either one of those things. If you're out in the county, as the saying goes.
Yeah, I mean, if you call the cheese, you feel like a rat, you know. You kind of put in a box, you know. I don't like it. I just don't like it. But my walls are paper thin here, man. I don't want me or little Cletus or anybody else to get hit by some straying Yahoo bullet, you know.
Well, I was kind of surprised because this being Christmas Day, I figured somebody around here would be getting a new freedom protector, but
you better put some lead in those walls, Steve.
Yeah, I need to, Rick. I'm gonna have to do something. We're gonna stay here. I mean, it's nerve wracking. It is, ain't it, Bob?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Incoming. Yeah. Right.
Boom. I mean, it's every 30 seconds. You know, for hours on end, they don't stop. What kind of simple mind would get their rocks off on that kind of shit?
Maybe they got a new muzzle loader. I mean, if there's a good bit of time between booms, it's probably a muzzle loader.
Look, yeah, buddy, 30 seconds.
they're free, man. They're free to do whatever they want. It's like they don't, they're the type of people who have lots of dogs, but they don't put leashes on them.
Wolverines! I hear you, Otto. Yeah, I hear you, Otto. God damn it, though. It's just, it makes me uncomfortable. It really does.
Oh, yeah, I would hate to live out in the country like that. That's why I live in the city. I'm around liberals.
Wolverine!
I need to relocate.
See, okay, good. I was good. I hate to give out a Wolverines and not have the return cry, right? Yeah.
Billable Rick.
What's happening, Billable?
I thought I heard him out there.
Yeah, hey, Rick. By the way, thanks for getting the Kaneka to Tracy.
Hey, I'm like 10 seconds behind you all for some reason. I'm trying to figure this problem out.
Rick, you're awesome, brother. You really are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You'll hear it. He'll hear it. Ready, bat now. Goddamn, silence is great in radio, isn't it, Bob?
No, I tell you what, there's no. Man, I just. Jesus, Steve, you brought your A game tonight.
How many are in this room?
Bubblegum from 1983, the Dead Dog Night, and God love that silence in radio, don't you, Bob? Damn it, where's that Canadian club?
Where's that delayed cowbell? Come on, let's wait for it.
No, but what I was saying a minute ago, Tracy sent
me.
We're
talking real professionals here, Bob.
Yeah, we damn sure are. Tracy sent me a food porn pic yesterday. She fried up the Kaneka, and it was well received. So thank you for all the effort that went into getting that to her, Rick. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Rick rocks. He's good people, man. Really is. You know, we have.
Yeah, Rick rocks, retainer, which beats Bob. The hell out of getting Rick rolled.
Yeah, we have him on retainer, Bob. You know.
Oh, absolutely. Money changed hands in the North Georgia Hills.
Yep. It's good to see you again, Bob.
1, 2, 3. I'll stop. Take my wife, please.
Warrior Witch is trying to get into the chat room.
Yeah, and
she's cool.
Yeah, and Sparky.
Beam her in, Duncan.
Well, he can't. Sparky absented himself. His family just got in, so I don't think he can do it right now.
So I got in on somebody else's line.
Stand by, Megan. We got you.
All right. Well,
1, 2, 3, 4.
This may screw things up monumentally, but. No.
I see her.
I do too, and I'm trying to do the ad.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Which makes no sense.
Well, I got in on Clarity Carlton Martin, whoever that is.
Clarity.
I lost connection and I got back in, but I wasn't too dumb. Or man cave.
Well, Bob, since you and I don't have any delay, what do you got on the grill tonight, my friend? Or is it all packed up and went away?
No, it's not packed up and went away. It will be put to use tomorrow.
Nice.
Because when we make the oysters bienville for Ferg's birthday, I'll roast them over the coals in the acorn.
I've got duck a l'orange, you know, and I always do duck on Christmas Day because of that silly movie, The Christmas Story. You know,
is your duck smiling like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, is it tradition for you to haul out the mallet and go whack?
No, I got it from Kroger's. Fortunately, somewhere down the line, you know, they took his smiling face off, which is doesn't hurt my feelings a bit. But
I saw a uh, I saw a dish the other day. It was a gnocchi with duck confit. Whoa. I'm sorry, that wasn't very French. Confit. Accent grave over the silent T.
That we had some shrimp left over from Christmas Eve, so I went ahead and converted that to a shrimp salad. So that's my food pouring.
Oh, nicely done. Well, I like I said, we've been snacking, and you know, yesterday I made the Czech version of stinky beer cheese, and today I made the German version. So over, you know, just on toasted rye bread, heavenly, and
nice,
and strong.
Nice. Now, you know how to hook yourself up with that crowd. If not, let me know. I'll ship you a bottle.
Oh no, I do. I'm a fan now. I'll be bringing it in.
All right, cool. Excellent.
I just want more juice. That's all.
Damn it! Maybe we should write them and tell them. I just want a bottle of juice. You know, just charge me the same as you would for the crowd. See what they say.
And wow, Terry in Saigon has jumped into the.
Awesome.
Or
hey,
Ho Chi Minh City. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. No, I'm going to stop that.
A one and the two. So, I mean, is everybody else delayed but you and me?
I hear y'all fine.
And it looks like
I don't think I'm delayed.
Okay, and Megan's in. Megan made it in.
Megan.
I don't know how, but she did. Hey, Megan.
What's up, Megan?
What's up? Merry Christmas.
Happy
Merry
Yule.
Christmas.
Happy Yule. Blessed
Happy
winter
solstice. Happy holidays, yeah. Blessed be.
Is this Megan, a.k.a. Warrior Witch?
Yes.
Yeah, that's me.
All right. Warrior Witch, there you are.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I have good news. I did the ciphering earlier. It's only 86 days to the vernal equinox. You know, first day of spring. See, I'm already more optimistic.
March 21st.
Yep. That's like 3 or 4 days after my birthday.
86 days for you guys in the East.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, that's when, Bob, I don't know what the weather's like where you are, but here, that's
spring
when we
comes,
get all the winter
comes
weather.
Here in February sometime.
Yeah, we get slammed with it. Like between January and March is when we get all the winter storms.
Oh,
we just have gully washers.
What? Gully washers? What?
Gully washers, yeah.
What? That's
when it rains like a cow pissing on a flat rock.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, nice.
Or a cow with diarrhea, you know, taking a dump on a flat rock. Same thing, man.
Oh, my God. Just ate dinner.
Thanks for sharing.
That's quite the visual there, ain't it, Otto?
Yeah, it is. I remember
Love you guys,
stepping
man.
Into a big cow pie when I was a kid, and I was just had my bathing trunks on. That was pretty disgusting.
What? Wait, what?
It was one of those.
Bob, what time is it? 7:03, and here we are.
7:03, right? And down in the gutter we go.
We're like right directly in the cow patties, like
talking about.
Yeah, well, Megan, you're not helping, asking for fucking details, okay?
All I heard was swim trunks and cow dung, and so it kind of begged the question.
Well, we were in I can't remember where I was at. It was one of my first fecal horror experiences as a kid. I think we've all had them. And that was my first one. It was the cow pie. It was fresh. Put my foot in it. That's all I remember. And ever since then, I have these nightmares. I'll be right back. I have to go to the Biff.
Ay.
What the hell?
It's just water and grass, right?
Yeah, and it disintegrates in the winter.
What?
It does, yeah. It's very biodegradable.
Did I miss on
you? You fertilize.
I've got 3 fields of it right behind my house, and the rain comes along and makes it really wet and wet. And there's a cycle it goes through, and then when it heats up, it just disintegrates, and then all the grass starts growing up through it.
What?
And they'll let it get to about 4 feet tall, and then they'll send a swather in it and bale it.
Duncan, imagine what that could do for your purple haze, brother.
And yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, you know the story about the city slicker who's staying at the bed and breakfast out in the country, and he's taking a walk down a country road, and there's this farmer with a wagon load of shit coming the other way, and the city slicker looks at him and says, "Hey, mister, what are you doing with all that shit?" The farmer says, I'm going to put it on my strawberries. And he says, you ought to come to where we're staying. We get whipped cream for ours.
Oh, no. That's Bob. Sick.
Cowbell for Bob.
Yeah, cowbell. That's just a very low rent jingle for that. Yeah.
You're killing me.
Oh, my God. Wait, what was that? Was that the cowbell or a gong?
That's my cowbell.
Yeah,
that's your cowbell.
It was Duncan's cowbell.
That's my
Well, you know what they say about
genuine Swiss cowbell.
And see, my cowbell is Sparky's dad's antique cowbell.
So that's one of those big like hand-holding things,
real...
Bob, right?
That's a real fucking deal, man.
This cowbell flats a little bit, I think. Clarity's got the better musical ears. This thing flatten or sharpen, Clarity? Yeah.
That cowbell is experienced, Bob.
Yes, it is. This is a very mature cowbell.
Experienced cowbell. A mature cowbell.
That cowbell don't take no shit. What is it, Clarity? Flat?
No, but you can fit stuff up on that cowbell real nice when you send it to somebody.
Maybe we should start
It's a little bit dull.
Start a new religion, the cowbell religion.
Yeah, it's a little on the flat side, ain't it, Clarity? I wanted you to concur, though. You're the professional.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's like a G flat minor seventh Anabaptist or something. Yeah.
What? No, it's just a single tone, Bob.
I'm getting a whole ass education just coming in this one chat.
Happens all the time around here. That's
sure
the,
that.
I'm a
cow piss disintegrating grass to music.
I'm about
my cowbell tones, Bob.
I'm a completely different human being after 15 years of this.
In Missouri, they call that cloudburst a frog drowner.
What?
A frog drowner.
A frog drowner.
Drowner.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay, but all right. For colorful speech, right. I think we have to give out. Even though he's a Republican, and I wouldn't piss on him to put out a fire. We have to give the Colorful Speech Award to Republican Senator from Kansas, Pat Roberts.
About the shutdown?
Pat Roberts was talking about the shutdown, said he expects it to go on. And speaking to Ali Velshi over at MSNBC, Roberts said, sometimes you just have to hunker down like a jackass in a hailstorm.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Hey, thanks a lot.
Grab that first sound bite, Bob. If you don't, I'm going to send it to you, man. Jesus,
oh my
you got to
keep
that for austerity.
You're working for some French news affiliate, and they're trying to translate that, you know? How would you say that in French?
Oh, well, Guy James, our dear friend, is a farm boy and grew up on farms in Ohio and everything. And we were together in D.C. at some radio row or something once upon a time. And I forget what we were talking about, but I looked at him and said, honest to God, Guy, them people was looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. And he about fell apart. And Steve, you remember Guy's voice. You know, he's got that very deep, very profound Midwestern sort of broadcast standard perfect voice. And Bob, I've been around farms all my life, and I've never heard anything quite like that, Bob. Cow looking at a new gate. I'll be saving that one. Say, do you think we can find that Indian restaurant that serves hamburgers?
Wait, who's lived in Texas? Can someone confirm the Texas saying that someone can't pour piss out of a boot without instructions on the heel?
That ain't Texas. That's anywhere around the South. Probably started here in Appalachia. Yeah, that boy's so damn dummy. That boy's so damn dumb he couldn't pour piss out in a boot with the directions on the heel.
Oh, Texas. I guess not. Bob's a little possessive on the speech there.
Well, it's just Southern. I mean, you got to remember. There's parts of Texas that actually qualifies as Greater Appalachia.
Really?
Oh yeah. I mean, for God's sakes, Baylor was founded by hillbillies. Baylor University, Waco, founded by hillbillies. Yeah.
Oh, Bob, you would have loved my uncle last night when I went to visit family for Christmas Eve. My uncle just sat there and gave us all a lecture about how the Maryland state lines were carved out, and he went into King Charles II and Henrietta Marie and their births and deaths and some of the 40th parallel. And then I asked how West Virginia became a state, because I think you mentioned that West Virginia was shaped in the in a rude hand gesture.
Yes, we are the only state in America that whose outline forms an obscene gesture.
And then he said, like, he went into the whole West Virginia became a state in 1863 because 40 counties refused to secede.
Well, that's why it looks the way it is. It was a county by county referendum, and it basically broke right down the Allegheny front, and it could have been a little bit larger, but they voted to stay with Virginia.
So that's why your state looks like a giant hand gesture.
An obscene one, yes.
So,
but I mean, if you want to talk about obscure state boundaries, Jesus, your state, Megan, has that goddamn geodesic dome at the top of the state. I mean, there's no map maker, no cartographer, no geographer that ever thought, hey, this is a good idea.
No, well, actually, I found it from my uncle last night. It's interesting you brought that up, because I asked naturally how the hell Delaware got carved out, and apparently the land surveyors got lost on more than one occasion. So that's how we ended up with the states we got. Like, yeah, apparently they went to, like, it was something about the Chesapeake Bay, and it was supposed to be where the Chesapeake Bay started, and they went to the, I can't remember, is it the northern coast instead of the southern coast or vice versa? And yeah, so they got stuff all screwed up. So that's where Maryland has that straight line by Pennsylvania, and if we hadn't, we'd be further south or something to that effect. I was just, yeah. This was on Christmas Eve, and I had like 3 cups of his mystery fruit punch that was spiked with, I don't know what it was.
Well, it sounds like it might have been, must have been mighty good.
Oh, it was, but it was on an empty stomach. So I was trying to hang on.
Oh, that's the best way.
Yeah.
Well, bring me another one.
You know, Delaware looks like a little hatchet. If you, the handle's the top part towards Wilmington, and the bottom part, you could, like, really go after Maryland with it.
Well, it's debatable. I always thought the Mason-Dixon line split the state of Maryland right down the middle, and then I've been told, no, it doesn't. So it's a demarcation.
Well, Maryland pretty
much it's the line between Pennsylvania and Maryland.
And I'll tell you why. How western half fought for the Union, the eastern half fought for the Confederacy.
Right, exactly.
So we pretty much are they are the Mason-Dixon line.
Yep.
The whole state.
Randy wants to know where Delaware stood in the Civil War.
I haven't looked that up, honestly.
Union state.
with the union.
Northern half, southern county.
But Delaware never seceded.
I don't think so.
No, I know it didn't.
What was the first battle? What was the first battle? Was in Delaware, wasn't it? The Battle of Manassas?
No.
Manassas, Virginia.
First land battle of the Civil War was fought in what is now West Virginia at a place called Philippi.
Okay, I got my history mixed up.
Yeah, I mean, the first shot was fired in South Carolina, but the first land battle was at Philippi. And then the first really big one was Manassas.
Antietam had a lot of significant importance as well, didn't it, Bob?
Well, that was one big-ass bloody battle.
Yeah. And of course, Gettysburg, but that's Pennsylvania.
Now, y'all are dragging up my childhood memories because I had a father who's a Civil War history buff. And from where we lived, he dragged us to all the battlefields within driving distance. So I've been to Antietam, I've been to Gettysburg, mm-hmm. I've been to Manassas, yeah.
Love Gettysburg. We used to get there 2 or 3 times a year.
I visited there when I was 5, but it was August, and August heat, no.
Antietam was the bloodiest single day in American history.
Exactly.
That was Devil's Den in Gettysburg.
Thank you.
Yeah, Devil's Den in Gettysburg is that cow pasture.
Antietam, which state is that?
Oh, that's true. It's in mountains.
That Maryland.
Maryland, yeah. Okay.
Called the Battle of Sharpsburg in the South.
Yeah.
Oh, no, in the South.
What's the battle where there was a big pit and they all the Union soldiers came in too late?
That's the crater at Petersburg in Virginia.
Yeah, Burnside was the general at that, the Union general. But Lincoln was so pissed off with I can't remember his name now. It wasn't
McClellan.
McClellan. Oh God, what a jerk!
Yeah, he wouldn't pursue the South after Antietam, as I recall. He wouldn't pursue the South back mm-hmm. into the South.
And the same with Meade after Gettysburg. Lincoln threw a fit. He said, why doesn't he go after the army and Lee just marched back south, you know, after the defeat?
Well, I don't remember which one it was, because this is back when I was in high school, but McClellan came up with a formula for how many he counted troops by the number of campfires, and Lee knew this, so they lit a bunch of campfires. I think this was in the Battle of Sharpsburg. They lit a bunch of campfires, and he did it on purpose, and McClellan, I could say, estimated the number of people around the campfires, and McClellan estimated the number of troops at Sharpsburg, also called Antietam, and he estimated that the South had 3 times the troops that they did, or something insane like this. In addition, also, and I don't remember if this was Gettysburg or Antietam, but a Union scout actually found the battle plan.
Confederate scout, and that wasn't. I don't think that was Antietam. That was prior to Chancellorsville, I think.
But I remember, and the reason I remember this was it was a Union thing is because the big deal was McClellan had the plans days before the battle, and maybe I'm getting shit mixed up.
I think no offense, but I think you are, because the cigar story is...
Hey, it happens. It's confusing.
The cigar story is it was a Union battle plan or Union orders or whatever, and they were found by a Confederate.
Okay.
Yeah.
But McClellan was an awful. He was awful, and you know I'm trying to think what the last straw was that made Lincoln appoint Grant, and Grant was this. And again, it's been so long since I've studied that. Maybe it way off. What made Lincoln appoint Grant? And Grant basically had no plans. It was when you just go, run after them, chase them, and run after them. And, you know, and then, of course, with Sherman.
Well, Grant had established himself in the river campaign in the West.
Right.
And then after he went through McClellan and Hooker and Burnside. When he finally got around to Grant, you know, some of the more delicate sensibilitied people around Lincoln said, "Well, that man swears and drinks and smokes cigars." And Lincoln said, "I'd like to know what he drinks because I'll send a case of it to every general I've got." And when questioned, yeah, but I mean, he does all these things.
Oh,
he's dissolute. And Lincoln just looked at them all and said, "Yeah, he fights. He fights.
He's tenacious."
McClellan rose to fame as a result of the Battle of Philippi. Because the North got left in a lurch when Lee committed treason, because Lincoln offered him the command of the Union armies.
Oh, wow.
And Lee turned it down and turned his back on his nation.
I may be confused, but Bob, and correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Gettysburg one of the first places that snipers were actually utilized?
Well, it's because the Union had deployed Sharps repeating rifles. The treasonous Southern troops referred to them as that goddamn Yankee rifle you can load on Sunday and shoot all week. And the devil's den at Gettysburg was this,
yeah,
this site of all kinds of boulders, and bullets would ricochet around in there and just tear people to pieces.
That's why it was one of the bloodiest, baddest battles of the Civil War.
Yeah, and also it was known for Pickett's Charge, and that was a devastating blow to the South.
That was an act of strategic stupidity on Lee's part, but. How did we get into the Civil War? How did we get to the Civil War from?
From the
Texas Mexico border.
I guess currently we're not too far from there.
Oh, but by the way, you know that Julius Caesar shit on a 7-year-old's Christmas, right?
Yeah, I heard that.
What?
Marginal.
What else did he freaking do?
He said Santa's kind of marginal, isn't it?
He said some little kid had this thing where kids call NORAD to track Santa, and they let Melanoma and Donald take a few calls.
Oh, yeah.
And so Trump takes a call. Hang on, I got the audio here. It won't take long. God. This is just stupid.
Now listen to this.
Is there anything this guy can't turn to poo? Just by breathing on it.
He could, God, Megan, he could fuck up a one-car funeral.
A teenage wet.
Call him King
Megan,
Reverse Midas Touch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this thing with the financial markets, this is what's going to turn the Republicans against him. It's all about money now. And so now that they're losing money and Trump is messing up with the tariffs and whatnot, he's going to get a small portion, I hope, of senators and House Republicans to turn on him. Finally, I hope.
Anyone get the feeling that he ain't going to come out of this this shutdown smelling like roses? I think that it may really turn the screws on him this time.
Yeah, because it makes him like an idiot.
How many times have we thought that, though, and he always comes through, you know?
Well, he claims that, but I'm not so sure. I think he's caught between the Scylla and Charybdis now this time, because he turned on a dime. Everyone's left. By the time Congress comes back, it's going to have a Dem House, and Speaker Pelosi ain't having none of this shit.
Yeah, Aunt Nancy going to bring the hammer down, man.
Rush and Ann Coulter are making known that they're like crapping on him. So he's like, yeah, there's not really anything he can do to.
But also, I'm sorry to interrupt, but he said he would own this shutdown to Pelosi and Schumer during their tete-a-tete. You know, so now he looks like a fool. You know, you think people are going to remember that? He's blaming
now?
The Democrats now.
Now he does?
Now Wayne?
I mean.
What else can he do? He's a total F-up, you know?
I think it's just becoming obvious now that the man can't do much but run his mouth on the bully pulpit and make these stupid gestures to try to force people to do his bidding and act like he's just, you know, he's going to going to just, whatever he says is going to be done and it's the law, and people are just, no, that's it. I mean, I don't, I took a freaking long time, but I think some people are finally starting to see it. I mean, some of us have seen it all the whole damn time, but.
As great as this sounds, this is wishful thinking, folks. He's still going to have his 35%. Those people aren't going to leave him. He was dead on right when he said you could kill somebody on Fifth Avenue and they wouldn't care.
Steve, I've been
talking about 35%. That's not even half the population.
Steve, how long have I been asking? What's it going
to
take?
Yeah, I know.
You know, brother. You know.
I've gotten to a place, gang, where I mean, you know where I stand on impeachment. I don't think it's a wise choice.
No, I
recognize that at some point the House may feel it's compelled to, that it has some sort of political duty to, but it's not a legal or a moral duty.
Well, Jerry Nadler already said.
Well, that's the part that worries me, Bob, because now that he's done this, the House Democrats are going to feel legally now that they have to do something to put a check on the man.
But here's the thing. Here's what I want. I want to beat his ass in the 2020 elections. I want him worried every damn day that of what's coming next. And just because I like Greek drama, that, you know, that sort of divine justice sort of thing. So I want to inaugurate a new Democratic president and vice president on January the 20th, 2021. And the minute that new Democratic president's hand comes off the Bible and nobody can pardon Donald Trump, I want the FBI standing there and not even let him sit through the new inauguration, which he wouldn't anyway, put the handcuffs on him and lead him away.
God, that's wishful thinking, but man,
call it wishful.
Like a Pollyanna here, but I don't even think at this point he's going to have enough Republican support to win another primary. I don't even know. He may not even get through being the candidate.
Well, South Carolina.
Or at the very least, it's going to divide the Republican Party so damn much.
That's a good point.
South Carolina is
very valid.
Hang on, South Carolina is considering canceling its Republican primary to prevent a primary challenge.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man.
And they can do that.
Democracy in action.
Yeah.
Because they want Trump to be the next candidate for 2020 that bad.
Bob, did you have a sound bite you were going to play, or?
Well, I was looking for it. I still am. I do have one that actually tracks with what we're talking about here. It was Christmas morning, and he could have been. He's the elderly father of a very young son. And if I was in that position, I think at his age, I'd want to spend as much time with the boy as I possibly could. But no, instead he's sitting at his desk with the cameras rolling, doing his Festivus airing of grievances. You probably caught this.
Everybody hated Comey. They thought he did a horrible job. The Democrats hated him. They were calling for his resignation. They were calling for his firing, including Schumer, including Nancy Pelosi, until I fired him. And once I fired him, everybody said, oh, why did you fire him? Why did you fire him? Take a look at some of these people. This is what we're doing now. Take a look at some of these people. Literally, the day before I fired him, they were saying he should be fired. As soon as I fired him, they said, oh, what did you fire him for? That was a terrible thing to do. It's a disgrace what's happening in our country. But other than that, I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas.
Good fucking Lord. The man
Time out.
A backhanded Christmas wish. Good
well,
God.
But here's why that happened. It happened because remember, Matthew Hot Tub Time Machine Whitaker has been briefed on the status of Mueller's investigation. Okay? So he's probably been told something about the extent to which Mueller is pursuing obstruction of justice charges against him for specifically the Comey firing. And so this morning, that was on what passes for his mind. And consequently, well, there we go. What's the thing that just comes burbling out of his id? His disdain for Comey and his sense of grievance that people have challenged him or criticized him for having canned him. So that's kind of an indirect indication that, yeah, Comey's closing in. Or Mueller is closing in.
Well, yeah. His tweets over the last 48 hours, Bob, have been utterly freaking bizarre. What the hell was his throwing a pity party by himself in the White House? Poor me. The Dems are being mean and I can't have my wall. What the hell was that? I literally, the show last night, I was listening to it this morning. I literally said out loud, what the actual F, when you read it on air.
I thought it was a satire. I thought somebody was, it was an imitation Trump tweet. I couldn't believe it.
But I mean, that's how silence is great on the radio, isn't it, Steve? but that's how his mind is. He can't process multiple lines of inquiry at the same time. He just fixates on one thing until somebody shakes something jingly and shiny in a different direction.
We're screwed.
Yeah, and
so he's basically got the attention span and memory of a goldfish.
But compare that, you know, with what Claire McCaskill said. She said, that the Republicans she speaks to say, yeah, we know he's nuts. He doesn't know what he's doing. But if I say that out loud, I get primaried. So we have to understand that the Republicans, once more, not that this is a surprise, put their own personal well-being and the well-being of their party ahead of the needs of the nation. Ta-da!
Yeah, in the meantime, there's a rabid dog in the White House, but nobody dares say anything negative about it. And that's the problem. I mean, on the Republican side, except for Corker, who's leaving, and Flake hasn't said a word.
Oh, they've said plenty. They just haven't done nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but with regard to the whole NORAD thing, Jesus Christ. I've got the video here. It's not very, the audio, it's not very long.
Oh, yeah.
And we need a hockey puck, Bob.
Yeah, you need a hockey puck for this because this is crazy. This is crazier in the head than a hog is in the ass. I mean, wow. So they've got melanoma on one phone, and Julius Geezer on the other, or I don't know, hot tempered Herod or no, how about hairpiece hairdo Herod, and you know melanoma's on the other phone. Answering the, yes, little boy, what do you want for Christmas? and hairpiece Herod then does this.
Seven, wow, that's pretty good, right? Is everything good? You're doing well in school? That's great. What are you going to do for Christmas?
Hello, good evening.
Well, that's really good. Well, you just have a good time. Are you still a believer in Santa? Because at seven, it's marginal, right? Well, you just enjoy yourself. Where are you from, Paul?
Thank you.
Jeez. Great.
I'm sorry. Someone run that by me again.
At 7, it's marginal.
What?
You still believe in Santa? Because at 7, it's marginal.
That is so lame.
Oh, but
I think my brain actually just stopped working.
That is totally lame, man.
Well, but there's something about listening to that phone call that just tickled a brain cell or two.
It's uneasy.
Well, it's uneasy, but it's also a reference.
Buy low, sell high.
I think you'll recognize this.
It's cryptic too.
I know most of us have heard this. We have to have heard this. Hopefully there's no ad. Nope, there's no ad. Goody. Now, consider what you just heard. Hello? Yes? How old are you? We take you now to the war room.
Товарищ председатель, говорит Сацкий. Я с президентом Меркин Мафли в Пентагоне. Он просит меня сказать, что если он скажет что-нибудь не так. Я должен его управлять. Да. Хорошо. Понятно, товарищ председатель.
I've done as you ask. Be careful, Mr. President. I think he is drunk.
Hello? Hello, Dimitri. Listen, I can't hear too well. Do you suppose you could turn the music down just a little? Oh, that's much better. Yeah. Yes. Fine, I can hear you now, Dimitri. Clear and plain and coming through fine. I'm coming through fine too, eh? Good. Then, as you say, we're both coming through fine. Good. Well, it's good that you're fine, then, and I'm fine. I agree with you. It's great to be fine. Now then, Dimitri, you know how we've always talked about the possibility of something going wrong with the bomb. The bomb, Dimitri.
Oh, God.
The bomb, Dimitri. It's marginal.
The hydrogen bomb.
Oh, wow.
Well, now, what happened is one of our base commanders, he had a sort of, he went a little funny in the head. Just a little
funny.
Funny. And he went and did a silly thing. Well, I'll tell you what he did. He ordered his planes to attack your country. Well, let me finish, Dimitri. Let me finish, Dimitri. Well, listen, how do you think I feel about it? Can you imagine how I feel about it, Dimitri? Why do you think I'm calling you? Just to say hello? Of course I like to speak to you. Of course I like to say hello.
Remember, Dimitri is drunk.
Right.
But, no, that... And you know, that conversation was just had. I'm just surprised, honestly. I'm just surprised that Julius Geezer didn't ask her what she thought of the chairman of the Fed. It wouldn't have surprised me in the least.
Jesus and, Christ, the wheels are flying off the wagon.
Oh, yeah, they're way past wobbling. They're hovering over Pascagoula like fucking UFOs at this point.
We've skedaddled past Get the Popcorn, and we've smashed headlong into hard liquor territory now.
Well, exactly, and the in many ways the best part of that, the part that got overlooked, was Melanoma taking the call saying, hello, thank you for calling.
Are you ready for Santa Claus? No, no.
What do you look like naked?
Would you like a red Christmas tree?
Oh, this is not phone sex line? I know.
When I heard that yeah, at seven it's marginal, I couldn't help but think of Darren. If he's telling that to a 7-year-old stranger on the phone, what is he telling his child? Well,
of course, it's me, Darren. Santa Claus isn't nearly as rich as I am.
Oh, God.
He could never bring you the kind of gifts I can. Only I can gift it.
Yep.
But this guy has absolutely no sense of judgment. He has no sense of editorializing what he's going to say, you know. He just says
If this is what he told a 7-year-old regarding a call to Santa, trying to track Santa, regarding that letter that apparently that was passed around President Bush's funeral to the Bush family, and they were looking at it like they smelled a fart. And if Trump was the one that wrote it, now I'm not wondering why they look like that.
Smelt a what, Megan?
A fart. Wrinkling their noses, pull on, pass it along like two fingers, like I don't want this touching my skin no more. Yeah.
Can you imagine
what a condolence letter would have sounded like if he had written it?
It's not funny. I hear you. Jesus Christ, man.
Well, he told that one woman who called in, or he talked to, her son had died in Afghanistan, and he told her, well, you know, obviously your kid...
No, that was Africa, but yeah.
Yeah, he knew what he was getting into. That's right, it was that thing in that firefight in Chad or something. Yeah, but he knew what he was getting into. Well, thanks for the condolences, you know, President. It's like, you know, the parent, the mother of the... she just couldn't believe it. I could not believe this guy was saying that. Later on to the press, she said. You know.
Well, he's got to go. Mr. G.I. Joe, man, I don't mean violent means. I mean nonviolent means, Mueller, whatever. He's got to go.
Well, I think, I think we'd better kind of settle in and get comfortable with the fact that he's going to be here for his full term. Unless he takes his clothes off and starts playing with himself in public, at which point
Bob,
he'll.
How far away were we from that, really? Most everything
and,
else.
I think it could happen any day.
Yeah, we're not
and you know what?
We are not far from that possibility.
No, we're not. Mick Mulvaney or Mike Pompeo, you know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. They're the only two people that are still working in his cabinet. Much longer, and they're going to put Ben Carson on a fucking milk carton. Nobody's seen him in ages. But, you know, if he does that, if he tears his clothes off and starts playing with himself in front of the press or whatever, Mike Pompeo will just come out and say, well, you know, this just goes to show the dynamic leadership of Donald Trump and how much the American people trust him to be able to play with himself naked.
It's a stressful job. Everybody needs to relieve themselves.
Oh, God damn it.
I want to know
how much... See, this is why I can't read Stormy Daniels' biopic, because I don't want... There's certain Polaroid images I don't want in my head.
Hey, they're already in mine. All we got in common is our misery. The least we can do is share it.
Well, now I've somehow got this image that he's already taken his clothes off and he's running around D.C. playing in the fountains in the freezing-ass weather, and everyone's just turning a blind eye. Some poor schmuck going on Google Earth is going to catch that image, and they're going to go blind.
How much Adderall is he taking a day? That's what I want to know, because that came out. That Bob showed that stand-up comic who was talking about his experiences with him, and that was a big shock. This guy is into speed. It makes sense.
That would actually make sense now that if he takes that medicine or takes that drug, because listen to people talk. They're like, oh, he only gets 2 hours of sleep a night, but he's been doing that his entire life, and they're acting like he's really bulletproof. I'm sitting here like, are you freaking kidding me?
Like Elvis, prescribed by a doctor.
Right, and Elvis died from... constipation, which was caused by opiates.
I want
to. Yeah, straining to take a dump on the John, man.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
It was funny in the mid 80s. Yeah. His death certificate was photocopied and it was sent all around to all the news companies. And I remember a friend of mine works for KGW News. He had a copy of Elvis's death certificate. It was pretty messed up.
Poor guy.
The death certificate really said died while straining on the John.
It had something
brain aneurysm. Connect the dots.
Yeah,
little Metamucil, he'd probably still be with us today, you know.
Yeah,
the last words of Elvis Presley were, I'm gonna go to the bathroom and read.
Oh my God.
Oh, something like that. Yeah.
That actually
is the reason why I don't take
on the push of the
Bob. His last words were,
wise men say only fools push hard, but I can't help. No, no, I'm not going to finish that. No.
Standing in the face while I'm red for you.
Merry Christmas to the horror family.
Oh, God, man. What a... Here it is.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a possum in the pantry.
I tried to pass a stone that I couldn't pass.
Oh, my God. Hey, wait a minute.
And we're doing all that. I don't know about y'all, but we're doing this all without the benefit of any fucking eggnog whatsoever.
I know.
No, man. I'm straight as a judge. No. What do you got, Megan? Chair it, man. Chair it.
Amaretto.
Love it. Love it.
For like 2 years. Hey, wait, Bob. You didn't share that gift idea I gave you last Friday.
No, I didn't. Because you were... No, I so didn't. You talking about the unicorn fart cotton candy?
Well, I was talking about the potty putter.
Oh, okay.
But the unicorn farts cotton candy was pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
You mean the squatty potty?
No, not the squatty potty. You literally play golf while you're sitting on the John.
Yeah, this is a putting green for the bathroom. Yeah.
Well, how about the pooter wax? You put it around your rim gym, and it makes your fart sound deeper. There is such a thing. I swear, go to farts.com. I'll post a link, man. It's called pooter wax.
How can we ever thank you, Steve?
It's a secure site. Go ahead, help yourself.
Somehow, it was last week when Agnes said, "Yes, Bob, you will be on the air for a Christmas on the front porch." And I don't know quite what it was I was expecting, but that wasn't it.
Just
wait, Alex Cowbell, the pooter wax, man. You beat me on that.
I love you, Bob. I do. I'm sorry, brother. I didn't mean to take your show to the pooter factory.
That's okay. It's a simple It's a simple handheld device that pushes air out. I don't want to know anymore.
Just as socialism follows capitalism, the anal bleaching follows the Brazilian.
Okay, trying to get that kind of wax done, Clarity, hurts like a mother, okay. And I can speak from experience.
So, Hank, so can I.
Well,
so can I.
How would you say that in French?
If you've ever wondered why Fox News is on the air, it's because, like pooter wax, it sells. That's it. That's simple, man.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's not any more complicated than that.
It's not much more valuable than pooter wax, but okay.
Now, this is an interesting topic. Have you guys noticed that conservatives, a lot of them, don't have a sense of humor? Now, I know that having a sense of humor usually is an indication you're somewhat intelligent. So does that mean most conservatives aren't that bright?
or they don't have a sense of irony. So anyway, a friend of mine brought that up the other day because there's some guy in our language group. He just does not laugh when you crack a joke. I said, well, he is a... You know.
That's a good question, Otto. It begs to be asked, yeah.
According to a friend of mine who's a clinical psychologist, he said that about a third of people are ironically challenged.
And lo and behold, that's about the same number of Americans who will support Donald Trump thick and thin, hell or high water, right or wrong, or even if he's standing naked playing with himself.
Yeah, and the stuff they laugh at is completely, retarded.
Own the libtards.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, lock her up.
I just blew up my $700 Yeti cooler to own the libtards.
After shelling out $700 to the company. Well.
I'm not kidding. You ever look at those things in the sporting goods store? Those Yeti coolers. I mean,
behind their hands.
They're amazing. They'll keep those Yeti coolers will keep ice frozen at ground zero of a nuclear device test. But they cost a damn fortune. And back when Yeti said that they didn't want to have a deal with the NRA anymore, there were all kinds of videos that went up all over the country. Oh, good God-fearing conservative gun-owning Second Amendment rights. What don't you understand about shall not be infringed? Boom! And they were filling up, no shit, they were filling up their Yeti coolers with Tannerite and shooting them with guns. These coolers that they'd spent $750 on to own the libtards.
Oh, no.
That explains a lot.
That explains
that their attempts to boycott and wage war on, I've lost count, Starbucks and Nike and Star Wars and does anyone else know what else they try to boycott and wage war on?
Good point.
You lost count, too.
Yeah, Randy just asked, did you ever get your shiny hiney for Christmas? No, I didn't. I got to say, I wasn't exactly expecting one, but...
That's kind of a personal question there. That's a little
Well, it can be interpreted in multiple ways, and I'll just assume that he's talking about the tool. Probably that's not the right word. Implement.
You only check your P.O. box like every, 1 to 2 weeks, so it could be there. You could have a brand new shiny honey.
So Bob's going to go to his mailbox and find a
if that's the case, then you'll all understand.
Unicorn farts.
If I take 2 or 3 days off, just, you know, for a little personal time.
And a tube of poodle wax, too.
Come on. The body wash.
Poodle wax. That's hilarious.
We have to laugh to keep from crying sometimes, folks, you know.
Oh, well, laughter, I think, is the best way to get the endorphins going.
Great medicine.
Almost as good as jogging.
Oh, yeah, you know something, I'm trying to get the train off the siding up out of the gutter and back onto the express track. I did do something, you know, I can't drink anymore. But sometimes I can't resist at least playing with alcohol, and I do things like this under the pretext that, well, at least Agnes can enjoy it. I found some dried cherries at the grocery store, and this is now the Scottish side of me is so proud of myself for this. I don't know what to do. I think I may have already mentioned this in the liquor store. There's a brand of vodka. I don't even like vodka. Farm Crafted Prairie Organic Vodka. USDA Organic. Now, a fifth of this stuff comes in at $25.50 plus tax. But it just so happens they've got the little airline mini bottles for 99 cents a piece. And I did the ciphering, and I figured out that a fifth of the $26 vodka is actually only $15 if you buy it in the mini bottles.
Yeah, load up, man.
So I got those cherries, and I filled up a pint mason jar and started pouring mini bottles in on top of them. And they've been sitting there for about a week. And every now and then, and I just look at Agnes and go, "Hey, you want to try a cherry?" "Not yet, Bob."
You got nice cherry liqueur.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. It might actually turn that vodka into something fit to drink.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Be careful.
Not for me, mind you, but, yeah.
Still, there's the temptation. You ever remember the last scene of Days of Wine and Roses where he's looking at the wine bottle and he's saying to himself, "No, better not, Jack Lemmon."
Yep.
But that's the problem with that disease.
This isn't that disease. This is my guts will go into rebellion against me.
Mm-hmm. No, I see.
Yeah, I'm not going to meetings. Yeah. I'm not going to meetings or anything.
You have a systemic problem.
Same problem I do, Bob, where you have like the burning acid at the back of your throat.
Oh no. This is like a multi-stage thing from my gallbladder across to my pancreas and my spleen and it's horribly painful.
So I had to get my gallbladder taken out because they had a growing polyp inside of it.
Ick.
Yeah. So. And if I had to come down with a virus to get the abdominal ultrasound and then get a checkup 3 months later, they wouldn't have even known about it because I didn't have any symptoms.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah, you could have been in stage one or two cancer by now.
Bob, what you have, it mimics pancreatitis, doesn't it?
It's idiopathic pancreatitis.
Yeah, my God. If anybody's ever had that or not anybody's had that, it is the most painful thing. It doesn't even compare to childbirth.
What does it do to your pancreas? I mean, it makes the pancreas go nuts.
What happens is, like in my case, the sludge will come up from the gallbladder and it'll block the common bile duct, which keeps the digestive juices, the digestive enzymes from the pancreas, from going on through the common bile duct and down into the jejunum.
Oh.
And when that shit backs up, those digestive juices will digest anything. And so when it backs up into the pancreas, it digests your pancreas.
Oh, jeez.
And it hurts like all hell, and basically all I can do is...
Up in a ball?
Take opioids for about 2 weeks and not eat food. Lose about 30 or 40 or 50 pounds in a month, and then slowly come back by eating Jell-O and yogurt and soup for, 6 months.
So is it just like eating your insides? Is that how that works? Or
kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But by the way, as Tony points out down in Texas, Jesus, after it's alcohol, who needs organic? Well, I mean, I guess even if it's distilled into alcohol, couldn't it still be carrying a little bit of that yummy Roundup with it? Glyphosate?
Yep.
Ugh.
Thank you, Monsanto.
Thanks, Obama.
And the fucked up part is, from all the research I've done, is it is curable, but it is so expensive to cure. My God, you're talking about a half a rock to get it done right.
Well, remember, I'm a guy. I'm one of those weird Americans who can't qualify for any kind of health insurance.
Right.
What the hell?
You make too much, or you don't make enough.
Both.
Yeah.
If I try to get on the exchange, I make too much. If I try to go Medicaid. And if I try to get on the exchange, I don't make enough. If I try to get on Medicaid, I make too much. And so, screw you, Bob.
I mean, as sure as I'm breathing, if I ever hit the lotto, Bob, we're going to get this fixed, man.
Well,
I shouldn't brag about living in Oregon, but I have OHP insurance, and I don't have any premiums or nor any deductibles. And and I'm a happy camper. But then Oregon is one of the bluer states,
yes,
on the west side of the continent. Yeah, I'm lucky. You know,
yeah, we are lucky.
Well, see, originally the way the Affordable Care Act Medicaid expansion was designed, it was supposed to take in people sort of in my situation. But with Trump's arrival, they clamped back down on it, whether they were supposed to or not. And so,
yeah, they're wrecking it.
Was West Virginia one of the ones that didn't take the Medicare expansion?
Oh, no, we took it. We took the Medicaid expansion. We took it, yeah.
Okay.
But they run the standards such that
they're hoarding it basically.
If you have if you have more than a cardboard box to live in, you can't have it.
And it's logistics. You are such a small few that would qualify for this fix that you know, and it sucks the way that it. But am I correct in my way of thinking or?
Well, they have, among other things, they cut back on the number of people who work on enrollments. And then when you try to, like with healthcare.gov, if you tried to enroll during open enrollment, which just ended on December 15th, which, by the way, they cut way back on the enrollment period so that they could say, well, nobody's signing up for it because it's Obamacare and it sucks. What happens is that the website was so backed up that there were people who did not get to enroll who tried.
But this is very rare, isn't it? Like 1 in 18,000. I mean, it's.
I don't know. I don't know what the statistical numbers are. I just know that.
But they're way out there, though. God damn it!
Are you only controlling it with diet now? Is that how that works, Bob?
Yeah.
And so far, you've had a good run.
Knock wood.
Do you have to take any kind of prescription drugs for it?
Not for it, no. But there were.
I mean, to prevent it.
At one point, I was taking metformin because I was pre-diabetic.
Oh, really?
And it was making matter, and it was part of what made it worse.
That's hard on the gut too.
I was I was diabetic. I was type 2. I had to lose about 60 pounds, which I did in about 7 years. But, geez, metformin's the worst. You just poop all the time. You're old.
Oh, my God.
801, yeah. Back off the main line and just took the spur back down into the gutter. Look. Now, welcome to old people talking about health complaints.
Did I tell you about how I stumped my toe last couple weeks?
Yeah, but you know, with the cold weather coming along, Mr. Steve, my lumbago's been acting up, but luckily for me, Agnes put a mustard plaster on it.
Now you're doing okay. Well, God bless old boy.
Well, you know, can't complain. Wouldn't do no good anyway.
Well, I uploaded a picture of Trump with an anus over his face, and that got taken down real fast.
The best one I've seen is the one of it's his face, and he's got his little mouth puckered up like this, you know, he puckers up your little mouth. And somebody just drew
like
a cat.
Possum's rear end.
And somebody just drew a cat, you know, so his mouth was the cat's ass. And because that's what Donald Trump has a cat's ass mouth.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Donald Trump is a pussy ass is probably the best insult to come out of this I've heard so far.
You know, our Siamese cat will walk by and flick that tail up in the air. Is that you, Mr. President?
Wow. That's hilarious.
I mean, if he's not doing that downturned mouth thing, you know, where the corners are both going down toward his jowls, and he's looking like Mussolini. He's got his mouth all puckered up like this and looks like a cat's rectum.
Oh, stop it. You do a good Don Trump, I have to admit. I've been working on mine, but it always sounds like Bob Guccione, you know, like, hey, what the hell is going on around here, you know?
Well, hey, speaking of titans of the porn industry. did you catch that Larry Flint is throwing a birthday bash for Don Jr.?
What?
No, you're kidding.
Oh yeah, this is some epic freaking trolling.
Wow, that's amazing.
Oh my god.
Because what he did, I guess there's some sort of hustler club or something out in Vegas. And he sent out a big invite. Let me see.
Oh, Larry's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
God. Wow, that's amazing.
But he sent out this big old invite to the Hustler Club. God damn it. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. This is just a pain in the ass. Where's the no thanks on this? Bastards. Hold on. I'll get it yet. Oh, by the way, that's a new thing. Have you noticed ad block shaming yet? Have you seen that in your... ad block shaming.
No.
Where if you've got an ad blocker turned on, some websites you go to and it says, "Hey asshole, you've got an ad blocker. Our annoying ads pay for you to be able to see this shit, you asshole. Turn off your ad blocker. Here's how to whitelist us." Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a big poster of a woman and some sort of looks like lace get up. Donald Trump Jr. birthday party and New Year's celebration, Monday, December 31st, Larry Flint's Hustler Club. Aubrey O'Day, member of Danity Kane, 3-song performances on stage and meet and greet. For reservations or a free ride, call. And the thing is, the woman that he booked for the party is the woman who, for 6 years, from 2006 to 2012, was Don Jr.'s, not his legally married Christian family values wife, sexy time friend.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And that affair is what ultimately got Don Jr. divorced. And so Larry Flint in his announcement said, "You and your family have done so much for this country that we at the Hustler Organization want to show our appreciation by throwing Donald Trump Jr. a birthday party he'll never forget."
If they really wanted to throw him a birthday party he'd never forget, they'd have the feds waiting
and the dancers inside the
club.
Flint spokesman David Bryant said, "We literally booked Aubrey just to fuck with the president."
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. The last I heard about Don Jr., he was up in Canada waiting for the shitstorm to come to an end.
Or shooting a moose or something like, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, it's something disgusting. I seen a picture of them with a dead a wild cat in Africa, and it really pissed me off to see that. Like a panther or a jaguar.
Did anyone him with the picture cutting the tail off the elephant and look
that.
At that and wonder what the weird kind of foreshadowing that was, considering the GOP is represented by an elephant?
Oh, that's a little bit symbolic. Yeah. there is an update, by the way, on the little girl that Donald Trump very nearly fucked up her Christmas for the next few years.
Oh God!
Turns out she's still cool with Santa Claus. They interviewed her. And it turned out she had never heard the word marginal before.
What a way to get a spelling
and
lesson.
So he somehow managed to not fuck up Christmas for her.
Wow.
She didn't know she probably thought it was mayonnaise.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's like it's the Clampett family in the White House. It's I hate to use the term white trash because I know it's kind of it's not very nice.
No, they're borough billies. They are
they're borough billies.
They are New York. They are New York. They are hillbillies from a New York City borough.
What the hell is a borough billy?
They're not hillbillies. They're borough billies.
Okay, I'm really getting an education.
Well, I mean, I just invented the word. I mean, you know what a hillbilly is, right? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, only, well, they don't, there's no hills in Jamaica, Queens, so they're borough billies.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
They are.
I'm going to have to file that one away.
In the Christmas classic movie, A Christmas Story, when the Bumpus's dogs come and take away the old man's turkey.
I just saw that movie.
Yeah, okay. So you remember, and Bumpuses? Well, they make a point of mentioning that the Bumpuses were from West Virginia. Well, imagine if the Bumpuses were from Jamaica, Queens, they'd be the fucking Trumps. Okay? Right. You follow?
Yeah, they would.
They would be.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's the Irish German version of the mob or Italian poor people, you know.
But I'm sorry, I just have to go back to this clip of him with the, because I want to make sure that we focus on Melanoma saying, "Hello, thank you for calling." Okay, everybody, be real quiet, and we'll hear this. Okay.
Uh oh.
Because you know, there's a lot of clatter of. Cameras and stuff like that, but if you listen very carefully, you can hear Melanoma casting her mind back to when she was doing phone sex for a living.
Thank you, Colton.
Thank you so much.
7, wow, that's pretty good, right? Is everything good? You're doing well in school? That's great. What are you going to do for Christmas?
See, it's right there at the front, and it's really easy to miss. God damn it. And it's right at the very beginning. Oh, and I hate how it's such a pain in the ass the way this thing works. Okay, listen very carefully.
Thank you, Colton.
Thank you so much.
7, wow, that's pretty good, right? Is everything good? You're doing well in school? That's great. What are you going to do for Christmas?
Hello, good evening.
Well, that's really good. We just have a good time.
Hello, good evening.
Did I just hear that?
Hello, good evening.
I thought she sounded like a Swedish milkmaid or something.
Hello, good evening. Mrs. Claus. You don't sound like an American.
Yeah, she sounds like the German chick.
What are you wearing this evening, huh? Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I was having flashback.
You know, she's kind of like that German chick in The Producers where she answers the phone, but she can only say like 2 words in English. Guten Tag, good day. Guten Tag, good day.
Have you been naughty? Huh? Do you need spanking? Oh, wait.
Yeah. You know, the kid says, "Were you really in a porno?"
I just love that though. I mean, the other parts, but you know. Hey, kid, give me the phone. I want to talk to Mrs. Claus. No, I haven't heard that. Ron and Raleigh just said, speaking of Bob Guccione, have you heard that Penthouse Magazine is now the voice of the alt-right? No, I haven't. And you know,
what?
It's been so long. I mean, dear Penthouse, I never thought that, and, you know, dear Penthouse, I never thought this would happen to me. My kid was calling to track Santa on NORAD when this when this European woman lady voice came on and asked me if I needed a spanking. That's the last I heard of Penthouse. Was right.
Wow.
See, anytime I say anything about New York, I get myself in trouble. I just got a note from Lee. Hillbilly, borough billy. I grew up in Forest Hills in the borough of Queens. Am I a hillbilly or a borough billy? I'm so confused. I just thought of myself as a New Yorker. Who knew? Well, you're not a Trump, Lee. Your old man was never arrested in...
If you're not a white trash with money, then you're not a borough billy.
Your old man was never arrested in 1927 wearing Klan robes at a Klan riot in Jamaica, Queens. So, yeah.
That kind of defines it right there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can get all Jeff Foxworthy. If your old man was ever arrested in Jamaica, Queens, at a Klan riot wearing Klan robes, you might be a borough billy.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Damn it, Bob. Does that mean I got to cancel my Penthouse subscription? I only get it for the articles.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
You only read it for the articles, right, Steve?
That's it.
I don't look at the pictures. I get too stimulated.
It's a very respected journalistic organization.
I thought Mr. Gucciani, God rest his soul, was a liberal. I don't know. I've been misinformed. I'm handing them cancellation notice today.
So how long do you have your subscription there, Steve?
It's been ongoing for about 15 years, Megan.
Wow. So you're like a platinum member now.
Yeah, I guess. And it's the last magazine still in print. You know, it really is.
So, Steve, you're not gay, are you?
Well, I'm happy.
Oh, that's good.
No, I'm sorry. I've just got the idea. Dear Penthouse, I never thought this would happen to me. I had phone sex with the president's wife on the Santa tracker.
And contracted virus.
Oh, my God. Is that Dennis trying to talk?
It is.
Hey, Dennis.
How y'all doing?
Jump in, man. Hope you had a good Christmas.
I've just been listening. I've been dying. I was eating a little bit earlier. That's why I was quiet. But, oh, good God, I almost spit Coke across the room a few times.
We aim to please, Dennis.
That's why I keep coming back. You weren't going to get rid of me.
So which part did you almost spit Coke through your nostrils? Was it the discussion of Bob's Christmas gifts, or was it the...
Yeah, it was probably the... useless consumer gifts.
Oh, God.
Well, silence is great in radio, isn't it, Steve?
I thought my Skype just worked out.
Well, I saw a funny tweet. I saw a funny tweet about somebody joking about getting a Pornhub tattoo on his back just for the hell of it.
What?
No, it's
my God.
And it was like a joke, but, you know, we all made comments about Pornhub tattoos.
I didn't even know Pornhub tattoos were even a thing.
Neither did I until I saw this tweet.
So he's just advertising Pornhub.com for free on his body?
No. He's one of the Chapo House moderators or speakers. I forget his name. Matt Cushman or something. But he has the funniest tweets because he'll say something that's really cryptic. And you have to kind of interpret it. But he'll say stuff that doesn't make any sense, but it's kind of like Trump-related. And then you look at the other comments, and it's hilarious. And it's like this weird cryptic string of jokes. Matt Cushman, Chapo House.
Oh, is that that Chapo Trap House podcast?
Yeah. I bought their book, Chapo Trap House Guide to the Revolution. It's pretty funny. The first 10 pages hilarious. You got to read it. It's funny. I mean, these guys are all...
Was it anything like the letters from the Second Civil War that Bob read, like, in the during the summer?
I don't know. I don't know. I just got into them. Some of their podcasts aren't that interesting, and some are really good. But they always record their stuff, and they upload it on YouTube, or they podcast through Patreon, I think. I'm not sure. I just got into them. They're really funny, though. And they're very intelligent. They have really good points to make about what's going on now. They had a funny podcast on Meghan McCain.
Oh,
and you've heard about her, and she got in a big tizzy with Joy Behar. Joy Behar basically called her a privileged bitch.
Well, that must have been a laugh riot.
So, you know, and that was like 2 weeks ago, but they did this thing on Meghan McCain. Did you know she did a book called America, You Sexy Bitch? The Road to Freedom or something, and it's like and they read passages out of it. Yeah, it's just bad. It's just in bad days.
Oh, she's God, like, I remember really, I remember way back when Bush Cheney were running for their second term, and an internet person who went by the name Mrs. Tarquin Biscuit Barrel got a hold of because the Bush administration had done everything possible to make this book disappear. But this person got hold of a copy of the book that Dick Cheney's wife wrote called Sisters, I think, or something like that.
Oh, wow.
That was set in Old West Wyoming and had these steamy lesbian love scenes in it. And of course, you know, they had Christian family values back then, the Bush Cheney administration did. And I remember reading excerpts of that every night on the air.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Just because it was so illicit. And it had this creepy scene where one of the women was grieving over the other woman having died, and she was fondling this wreath she had made out of the woman's hair. One of these days, Megan, I'm gonna have to just get you to call in, and I'm just gonna record you making that what? And that's gonna become a drop. You know, just say something outrageous, push the button,
that.
Megan
okay.
goes, what?
What?
Yeah, that. But yeah, she had made this memorial. I guess she shaved the dead lady's head or something, and made a wreath of her hair with dried flowers. Jesus Christ! It was like something from the grandparent prequel to Silence of the Lambs or something. And she stood holding the hair wreath, and a single tear ran down her face.
For the weird, creepy image that's going to be like at 3 o'clock in the morning.
This was the wife of the vice president of the United States who had Christian family values and slaughtered a million innocent Iraqis along the way. Yeah.
Isn't his daughter a lesbian though?
Well, yes. And that entered into the conversation somewhere along the way that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe she was looking over Mommy's shoulders when Mommy was typing some of the steamier scenes right there on the Old West Wyoming frontier.
Well, Wyoming's not much of a state. It's a beautiful state in the eastern part with the Rockies, but it's pretty boring. I've driven through Wyoming twice, and I just could not believe it's just... it's almost as bad as North Dakota, you know.
Well, isn't it kind of next to it?
Yeah.
You're talking about driving through, like, creepy deserted areas? Is that what you were referring to, Otto?
No, I'm talking about driving the I-84 through Wyoming. I drove through Wyoming in 1973, and then I drove through Wyoming in 1982. And it always, it's beautiful. The skies are beautiful and everything, but it's not till you get to the Rockies where it gets kind of interesting. I think it's, there's a town, ski town called Jackson Hole, which is,
yeah, really Jackson nice. Hole. That's, oh, that's, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know,
interesting in what way?
Well, it's like, what's there? There's nothing to do there. So it's like you're either a rancher or you live in a small town somewhere. But, you know, I remember reading something about Wyoming and said it's a state where most people leave. They don't stay much long. I mean, they don't stay very long, you know.
So it's like, what, something out of Silent Hill or?
I don't know.
Deliverance.
Actually, the state that. Yeah, that's near Wyoming. That really beautiful state is Montana. If you can go to Montana, that's a nice state.
Wait, we have a representative of Montana in the room. Irwin, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm
here.
There
he is.
All right. Yeah, I'm very familiar with Montana, Wyoming, and North Dakota because I've lived in all places, all the three places. So
which state is best, Montana over the other two?
That's my home state, so I'm kind of partial to it. I'm from the eastern part, which is kind of boring, kind of like North Dakota, but where I grew up was a lot. There was a lot of pine trees, and it was hilly. And whatnot, but
are you native?
Yeah.
I was about to ask that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, so I'm native.
Are you Sioux?
Yeah, I'm native,
Sioux?
So yeah. So my mother was from North Dakota, and my father was from Montana. So they got together, and but I lived in I've lived in Idaho too, but Wyoming is very high desert, most of it. It's not really desertly desert, but the wind blows really bad there.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's one thing I noticed.
Yeah, and but one thing about Wyoming, I think it's second in average wage in the United States. So it's right below Alaska for annual wage what I see in the labor statistics. Montana's number 46, so we're way down there. Montana is, but and Washington D.C. was $140,000 average annual income. So
wow, that's wow. By the record.
Wow. Alaska's 63,000, I think. I think these are 2015 statistics or something, but I was real curious about that one day, so I looked that all up. But Wyoming, very conservative place.
Yeah,
very conservative, and the northern part, the Bighorn Mountains in the northern part is pretty nice. And then the western part, like you're saying, Jackson Hole, Pine Hill, Pine Dell, and some of those areas. A lot of wilderness areas there. So if you like to hike and get away from people, that's a good place to go. But
I was going to say, if you're like a nature freak that wants to just, you know, do away with other human beings altogether, you could probably disappear there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Eastern Oregon's good for that too.
But it's so Central Oregon. I was born there.
Yeah. Central Oregon? What town?
Central Oregon.
Bend? Central Bend. Oregon.
Bend. Yep.
Yeah. A friend of mine grew up in Prineville. He said he hated it.
Yeah. There's like, unless you got a ranch, there's nothing really to do. But
no, there
I heard
isn't.
That Bend's been built up over the last like 30 years or so. Mm-hmm. So last time I was there, I was a teenager. Yeah, if you like a horseback ride, if you like to camp, if you like to hike, if you like to, you know, do that, if you like to do all that stuff and you just don't want to see other human beings, you just want to, you know, comfort with the animals and wildlife for a while, then that's the place to do it.
That's right.
In Montana, I'm in Missoula, about 120 miles from Glacier Park here. And this city is where the University of Montana is. It's
uh-huh.
It's a liberal place in Montana, one of the few. And
so you got blue pockets out there, Irwin?
Yep, not too many. Here and probably part of Bozeman, because of the people that were here, but Bozeman is probably the fastest growing. I think behind Boise, Idaho, it's the fastest growing city in the United States. So it's
really?
Yes, it's growing really quickly. And
why is that?
It's really beautiful there, got a good college there, and there's a lot of outdoor activity. Madison River's there for fly fishing. I mean, that's world class fly fishing. So, you know, it draws in a lot of people. There used to be the saying that don't Californicate Montana.
What?
Yeah,
we used to have that.
Literally say Californicate.
Yeah, that was when I haven't heard that for a long time, but when I was like in college, I heard that saying quite a lot. But there are a lot of people that move in here, and some people don't like it. To me, I like it, but some people don't, because new blood's good for Montana, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. North Dakota is the worst part of North Dakota is right on the interstate where everybody sees. There are places that are a lot nicer in the northern part of the state. Not a lot, but there's a few places that are almost like Minnesota as far as woods and lakes and things. But when you drive the interstate and Fargo, that area is just flat as a pancake. You know, it's really, really, it's really boring there. But
also like really, really cold?
Yeah, in the winter? Yeah, it is. The eastern part's really cold. They have a good football team. North Dakota State's won the national in that division. It's below the second division. They've won the national championship, excuse me, six times, and I think they'll win it again. I don't think they've been beaten this year either. So they've got a really good football program there. So it's not big time football, but it's, you know, for this area, it's pretty big.
So it's like college football?
College football, yeah, but it's forget the division designation, but it's below the big time football. So, you familiar with Carson Wentz or not? Is that name?
I'm not.
Okay, he's quarterback for the Eagles, or he's hurt right now, but he's from North Dakota and he went to North Dakota State, that's our claim. That's North Dakota's claim to fame anyway.
Well, I had a friend who was in the Air Force that was stationed there for a bit, and she used to joke that during the winter, if she had a party, all you had to do to keep the drinks cold was just put them outside.
Yeah. Oh yes, it's very cold there.
Hey, Megan, I got to jump out of here. I'm really tired. I got to go. I got to work early tomorrow. And just want to let you know I love you guys, man.
Love you too. Good night.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Thanks, Steve. You really brought your A game tonight, buddy.
Oh, thanks, Brother Bob. Seriously, man, this means more to me than pie or cake. I mean, we got to keep this going, so let's do it.
Yeah, all right. The back porch is fun.
Hey, yeah, Steve. It is.
Back porch or front porch?
Front porch.
Front porch, front I'm porch. Sorry. Front well, porch. Porch can be more fun, but
some people just...
Unless Bob's got a trampoline.
Good.
Working on it.
He's got one. He's got one. He just doesn't break it out for special occasions, so...
What?
Well, you know, I don't take it out very often.
Why did you never talk about that?
Well, you know, I don't take it out very often, because when I do, I give myself a black eye with my beer belly, so, you know.
Good night, everybody.
Clap. Yeah. Yeah.
See you, Steve.
Later, Steve. Let's go to the police blotter.
What?
Yeah, time for the Christmas crime report.
Oh, cool.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. A story out of Fort Collins, Colorado. A woman disguised as Rudolph robbed a local business in Colorado last week. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Burglar had a very shady scheme, the Fort Collins police announced on their Facebook page. And if you saw the video, it would want to make you scream. Oh, how the camera caught her as she committed burglary. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Criminal, we need your help with her ID. And the video shows the woman going into the store wearing a Rudolph mask. And then started putting items from the store into a bag. And while she was still in there for a minute, she removed her mask.
You know where this is going.
And the police in their Facebook post said, all kidding aside, she stole several items while disguising herself as one of Santa's helpers. If you have any info about this incident or know the suspect's identity, let us know so we can notify Saint Nick. Saint Nick is the code name for the director of the Bureau of Prisons in Colorado. And see that remember Rudolph was bullied. So there's that. Yeah.
All righty then.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got a question for everybody.
Yeah, go ahead, Dennis.
This is just out of pure curiosity because I know a lot of you have been doing it for many years. How do you deal with commenting political news on social media, especially around family members?
Oh, God.
Well, most of mine's dead or doesn't speak to me, so that...
problem's off you.
Yeah, that takes a lot of the... but... that's a tough one, and some people just tone it down some, and some people just don't use social media for that. It's about the only thing I use social media for. So
yeah, I figured that you would lean that way since you were. Everybody knows who you are. You have a name.
It's funny you brought that up because I was reading an article in the Huffington Post. About a woman who, this year, she is no longer visiting her right-wing, crazy pro-Trump family, and it's taken her like 3 Christmases to finally come to that resolution. And she said that the last time I talked to my mom on the phone, she figured out that Obama was the Antichrist because she found out reading the Bible, and she'd actually quoted the scripture to prove her point that Obama is the devil or whatever you want to call him. So this is the kind of people that she had to grow up with, and I felt really sorry for her, but God. She feels somewhat liberated that she no longer has to attend their festivities. And it's kind of like, but I can't remember the article. It came out about 4 or 5 days ago, and I was reading it, and I could not believe it. And it just struck me that there are people out there that think that way. And, and then you listen to Bob on Wednesdays, and he plays these tapes of these nutty Christians, and I'm going, my God, there's this whole group of people out there that think that way.
Oh, they're real. They're so real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And my problem, Dennis, is more one of how do you deal with it on an up close and personal basis? Because I tend to say what's on my mind.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. See, that was going to be my follow-up.
Well, see, I lucked out my aunt's house because she's been more like laying down boundaries so everyone can enjoy the holidays, like a strict no talking about politics rule. But like social media is where I really can like let loose. So the people's like, first of all, there was like the outer ring of like acquaintances and people that I just knew that I employed the block button like right after the election because I knew that nothing good was going to come out of it. And as for the rest, like, people either got upset or they took me off or I took them off my news feed or we just unfriended each other. I mean, it's kind of unfortunate, but I was, you know, I need some place where I can vent because otherwise I'm going to go crazy.
Well, that's what this place is for. But for me, it's what do you do when you run across a real live maggot in the flesh? And of course, this...
you just got to get out the canned air horn.
Well, no, this was, now this is pre-Trump. I'd say this is probably about 2009, 2010. It was back when I had some health care.
Oh, yeah, you've been dealing with it a lot longer.
Back when I had some health care coverage. But I went in to get my blood work done because we keep an eye on my triglycerides because I'm a triglyceride factory. And so the nurse was, you know, tapping the vein on the inside of my elbow and putting on the tourniquet and getting ready to stick me, and she said, you know that Barack Obama's a Muslim, don't you? And this is a woman with a needle at my arm, and I about jumped, and I said, what? He's a Muslim. He's a Muslim, and he wasn't even born here. And I said, hold on a minute. Where was he born? Kenya. And you know he's not a Christian. He's a Muslim, and he wants to give all those homosexuals rights and stuff. And I said, where in God's name did you hear all of this? And she said, my preacher preached it on Sunday last.
Oh God,
Bob, that would have been worth it just to see the look on your face.
And I looked at her and I said, I said, well then your preacher is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whatever else Barack Obama is,
God.
He was born in Hawaii after Hawaii became a state. He's not a Muslim. He's a baptized Christian. And what's wrong with gay people having rights? Well, God doesn't approve of it. It says right there. Where? Show me. Drop the needle. Go get the book. Show me.
You said that?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I've looked
and then,
up the passage
and then before she could do it, I said, Jesus never said a word about gay people. Not a word.
It's in the New Testament. Right. And then
I said,
right
now
in
there's
the
some.
I said, there's.
I said, there's some crap in. There's some crap in Paul's in the Pauline parts of the New Testament, but that even isn't explicitly about gay people.
Wait. That's Paul, like, didn't meet Jesus in the flesh, like, I don't know, some 80 years after he died, Paul?
There's reason to think that Paul probably at least set eyes on him, okay?
Okay.
Because he was probably a screw for the temple police.
Oh, jeez.
And he says he was involved in persecutions and stuff, but no, he never met Jesus. He probably never even heard him speak. Assuming that Jesus was real, of course.
Isn't there a passage in Leviticus that goes into detail about how to sacrifice a bird to God?
Sure, and that's what I said to her. I said, then there's that Old Testament crap that your religion and the religion I was raised in said passed away with grace. I said, but by the same token, I was hot. It was a bad day. I said, but by the same token, if you're gonna take that to heart, then the city fathers can take you outside the city gates here and stone you to death because you're wearing pants.
Oh God!
And it says real clear there that a woman shall not put on the raiment of a man. And when did you eat shrimp last? Because we're going to brain you with a rock for that, too. But you can't move them. You can't move them.
No, they're sitting there. They're weird symbolic.
And that's back when I was willing to argue with them. I've since changed. My attitude is different now because, A, I realize that they're beyond help, beyond redemption, and beyond hope.
Yeah.
It's a waste of your energy
I'm
to argue
you
with
said
them.
That. And that's exactly the approach I took, is that I could waste an hour to disprove them and change nothing because you're not going to change anybody's mind.
Right, because what they're after is the confirmation of their own racism and bigotry.
Yeah.
And that's how it is with that 32-34% of mouth walking, knuckle breathing freaks. Okay, I remember. Oh God, probably 2008-2009. There was a survey that was taken in New Jersey, of all places, where 29% of the respondents weren't, and I remember it because of the phrasing of it, weren't sure whether Barack Obama was the Antichrist. Weren't sure.
Jesus.
Wait a minute.
Then there was another survey about the same time that said, you know, 27% of people in the United States believe in demons, and 27% of the people in the United States believe in angels, and 27% of the people in the United States believe in alien abductions and anal probes and things like that.
Wait a minute, Bob. There was a poll going around about that same percentage where they asked people if they support the bombing of Agrabah, and a certain percentage said yes, and they said Agrabah is
fictitious.
A place in Aladdin. It's a fictional place.
Right, not a real place. But you're all for bombing it because it sounds like it's got some Muslims in it.
Yeah. Jesus. I think Obama would have been better off if he had changed his name to, like, Joe Dow or Fred McGillicuddy, you know.
No, it wouldn't have made any difference because he still would have been colored.
God. Yeah, I had a...
It was the black.
Yeah, it's the black. It's a displacement of racism is to call him a Muslim. They're basically calling him the N-word.
Well, think about this. I had this uncharitable thought the other day when you were talking about healthcare, Bob. What if they're not against the Affordable Care Act? They're just against it because it came from a black man.
Yes.
So they're willing
Time out.
Obama.
He's gone from office now. And all the people who have insurance now are kind of pissed off at this business with these Republican attorney generals trying to take their health care away from them because Obama's gone and out, and they don't have to feel like a Negro got them so they could go to the doctor.
Oh,
I mean, there's a dynamic involved here. I don't know. Maybe it's there's this. This story about, 8:46 p.m., 8:47 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm awarding myself the re-up on the old Hitler pool. There may not be any truth to it, but there's a story that part of the reason that Hitler hated the Jews so much was that when he was a struggling artist, and a bad one at that, the only people who would buy his paintings from him were Jewish people who were just trying to help out the nice boy who couldn't grow a decent mustache.
Oh my God.
And so he had to depend on, it's kind of that Blanche DuBois thing. I have always depended upon the kindness of strangers. And that drove some of his hatred. Well, the same thing, the same dynamic is in play with Barack Obama and Obamacare. That's why the Republicans worked so hard to get people to not call it the Affordable Care Act, but instead to call it Obamacare.
Right. Well, to add to the effed upness of that, Bob, there were some people that really thought that the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare were two separate things, and they were trying to get rid of one and keep the other.
Yeah, but I also wondered about Malcolm X being black Muslim. I wonder if that played into it, too. Easier for them to believe him.
Well, sure. Yeah. And then there's that Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
And that feller, that tall feller, what played basketball for the Lakers. And they was Muslims. And they followed that Sharia law.
And then there was the time the black men clenched their fists during.
1968. Sure, yeah, and but the thing is, it's like the Sharia law business. If you ask any one of these mouth breathing, knuckle walking freaks, well, okay, what's in Sharia law? A lot of bad stuff. You gotta deny Christ. And you can have you can have 4 or 5 or 15 dozen wives and stuff, and they want to ram that down our throats.
So apparently they've never visited Salt Lake City or any of the out.
Right, and then you look at them and say, but you're okay with Catholic canon law. Well, they got a law about canons. Well, okay. How about Jewish law that controls how Jewish people get divorced or what they can eat or can't eat or what kind of headgear they have to wear or when they go to church or whatever? What about that? Well, what about it? We're a Judeo-Christian nation.
Damn straight.
So Christian Taliban law is
but
okay.
The Judeo part of Judeo-Christian wasn't part of our vernacular until much later in our history of that. Judeo-Christian didn't exist in the 19th century. Nobody ever used that term. 19th century, I mean. It wasn't until much later when the right-wingers finally accepted Israel as being the place for the rapture. So now,
there was a brilliant book written by Barbara Tuchman called Bible and Sword about the long fetishistic history between Britain and the idea of a Jewish state. Okay,
right.
And what you know, the whole Judeo part of it is a Christian fetishization. Because there's nothing about Christianity that it isn't essentially Jewish.
That's right, yeah.
You know, of all the people who weren't Christians, Jesus tops that list. Right. He lived and died a radical, semi-pacifist, reform rabbi in the first century CE, occupied Palestine. And he never wanted to be anything more or anything less. But try to explain that to the believers and that, you know, they just look at you and see this is how the program loops back on itself. Like a cow looking at a new gate.
No, good point.
What do you mean Jesus weren't no Christian? That was his last name, Christ. That's what his mama named him right there in that manger in Bethlehem. Jesus H. Christ. I know it because
I'm going to have to watch this in live action sometime. Seriously,
I know it because I was watching the preacher. Had his hammer out and he was putting the pulpit back together one day and he missed the nail and he hit his thumb and he hollered, Jesus H. Christ. And that's how I know that's what his mama named him.
Hey, am I coming in now, guys?
Hey, it's Billable Rick. He's back.
Oh my God, it's Rick.
Yeah, I finished the festivities with my ex and my son and here at the house. And I'm going to probably have some leftover prime rib for dinner tonight. So I had that last night.
Ooh-wee, I want you to know I just saw Tracy's. Tracy just sent me a food porn picture of her prime rib.
Ooh.
And I mean beautiful. Apparently, Jan, according to what Tracy told me, Jan misunderstood what Tracy said. She said, Tracy said, get enough for 6 people. And instead, Jan got 6 bones. Now, if you get 6 bones on a prime rib, that's a ton of beef.
That's like
12. Wow.
I had I basically only had maybe like how many bones? I'm guessing 3 or 4 bones at the most.
and it fed four of us, and there's like leftovers for two more steaks. I mean, it made like maybe eight or nine steaks.
Wait, steaks? You didn't roast it all as one thing?
Yeah. What we did is we cut them up, we put them on the Barbie, and cooked them on the barbecue.
Oh, with the bone in?
Yeah, with the bone in. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I basically cut the the prime rib. I had to have a real sharp knife. I felt like I was, you know, dismembering Khashoggi or something like that. It was so sorry.
Oh no.
See, you went there. I got a ham the other day because I had a terrible hankering for ham and dirty gravy.
Yeah.
And
what the
biscuits.
Heck is dirty gravy?
If you're going to explain.
It's heaven on earth. but
dirty gravy.
But the I wanted nice the ham man. The ham I wanted, the kind of ham I wanted, they didn't have at Kroger where they could have sliced it for me. And it's got, you know, that little round bone in it.
God.
So
God.
I had to get it at Wally World, which I hated. But Wally World won't pay meat cutters because they tried to unionize once.
Okay.
Jeez.
And so I was thinking when we were, because, and so instead we had to take the chef knife and kind of work around the bone and like that. And I just kind of muttered out loud to myself, I wish I had a Saudi neighbor I could go over and borrow a fucking bone saw.
Oh. Get one at Dollar Tree.
I don't know about where you are, but I mean maybe they sell them at the Dollar Tree in fucking Riyadh, but they don't sell them here. Fucking Saudis.
You know what they call it? Oh, it's called the Khashoggi special. Ooh, bad joke, sorry.
$100. Saudi Arabia, because everybody has so much money there, you know?
Not for
Bob,
long.
Is dirty gravy, is that anything like dirty rice? Or
no, what? No. Okay, we'll go back to that and just close with a little food porn this evening. Right. When you have the right kind of ham, it's going to have a ribbon of fat around it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
And when you fry it in an iron skillet, real low and slow, in slices, then that fat will render, and some ham will stick to the bottom of the pan, and everything make just wonderful little goodies. And so when you're done with all your frying, you take some coffee, old coffee, just maybe what was in the pot from earlier in the day. This is serious poor people food. And you pour it in that. You pour that coffee in that hot skillet, and you scrape for all you're worth, and you deglaze that pan. And then
so
you
pour coffee into the iron pan and you scrape.
And you deglaze the pan, right, from the ham drippings and the ham yummy bits. And then you stir it a little bit now and then, and you let it reduce to about half. And what you have then is classic red-eye gravy. And to make it dirty gravy, you open a can of evaporated milk, like Carnation or whatever, Pet. And you pour that in, and then you let it reduce. So the already condensed, you know, milk condenses even further along with the red-eye gravy, and you put it over hot biscuits, and it'll make your taste buds sing freaking arias.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to try this.
I mean, it's it is poor.
It's a gravy still.
Yeah, but it's poor. It is poor folks' food. Because you know everybody has a pot of coffee. You got a little ham. You scrape up the bits, and you know you put it over hot biscuits, and you're in heaven.
Wow.
So that's you know. Try it sometime.
Okay, we've hit the history lesson and the cooking lesson, and we've hit all the dirty jokes, so.
Right. And so it's time for us to close up this this epic Christmas night on the front porch. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in and joining in. Glad you could get back to us, Billable Rick. Thank you, Clarity, for jumping in, and congratulations again on your good news. Thank you, Megan. Always good to hear from you. Dennis, sorry, I'm looking at the list here and getting lost. Thanks for joining in, Dennis, and good to hear from you, Irwin. Otto, it's always a pleasure. Our buddy Kevin was on the stress line there for a little bit, but it looks like I'm going to have to tinker with that some because he couldn't hear the group.
Well, I'm pledging $50 this week. I made a transfer to PayPal, so that'll be my January donation.
Well, thank you very kindly. I mean, this is fundraising free radio week.
Yeah, I know, but I thought I'd drop that just to let you know.
Well, that's wonderful because you know we will have. I presume, we will have Shirley's Memorial Challenge for New Year's Day, and if that's the case, that can go toward help knocking out that $200 matching challenge. So thanks very kindly, Otto. And
no problem.
Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky this evening at the head of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Enjoy the family time. Happy birthday to your stepson. We'll think of him as we're birthdaying with Ferg tomorrow. Thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Merry Christmas. Back at it tomorrow. Bye now.